What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy hump day.
Yes, it's hump day. A beautiful, beautiful day, also made more beautiful by the fact that it is September 1st and the weather is positively gloomy. It is so stunning to behold.
You know what it is? It's a great day to make a chili.
It is a great day to make a chili. Interesting. Now I need to replan my whole day.
I'm thinking I'm going to make a chili.
Okay, I mean, you talk a big chili talk.
I just have to say, when I say I'm making a chili, it means I'm getting the ingredients for Ben to make a chili.
That works. A chili is a chili. Doesn't matter who made it.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
We have an amazing show for you guys today because here's what's going to happen. First of all, yesterday we podcasted all day.
All day long. Almost 5 hours of podcasting.
We got your toast yesterday, and then we went to meet Michael and Lauren Bostic of The Skinny Confidential, his and her podcast, and we recorded their podcast, which will be out soon, and they were on our podcast, which is going to be at the end of today's episode, and I'm just so excited for you guys to hear. Like, honestly, I was thinking about Lauren all day.
Me too. We talked to them for so long, but I could have talked to them forever. I think they're so interesting. They're such a fabulous couple. She's just like has so much knowledge and information.
And she just seems like this person. Maybe, I don't know if it's true, but she has this confidence that like she has her fucking life together. And like every time I remember feeling this way, like the last time we podcasted together, I just feel like I'm so jealous of like this assuredness you have like in your life.
Yeah, I feel that.
And I was just like, you know where you're going.
Yeah, and she's going places.
She's going back to Austin.
Both like, of them are. Oh my God, yeah. Jealous.
It was a really good episode. We talked about just like literally everything. So that'll be at the end of today's episode, which I'm really excited about.
Yes, and then of course we have the Fast Five stories. I believe they'll be extremely fast today.
And then there was the abomination.
Atrocity.
The disgrace. That was the Real Housewives of New York season finale, where I could not tell you one thing that happened. I couldn't even recite back to you. That's how forgettable it was.
Okay, I will do my best to remind you, but it was so bad. I can't believe that was a season finale. Probably the worst season finale we've ever seen. Next week isn't even reunion. It's like unseen crapola from the season that was so shitty it didn't make this shitty season, but it's making its own episode.
Because they literally filmed the reunion last week. It's not ready yet. Like, and if they torture us with more than one part, let's just kill this horse, okay?
They're going to do at least two parts. You know that they
What's are. They shoot dead horses, don't they? Like, leave it alone, let bygones be bygones, and let's just put this absolute atrocity to bed and forget it. Like, let's forget it.
It was so, so crazy. It took me forever to watch it. I was just, like, on my phone doing
I was
nothing.
Just doing a million other things. Anything. Laundry.
Anything. Hanging with Brew.
Yeah.
Brew almost came today.
The rain, that's why Theo didn't come.
No, it's just like, then I got to pick him up and, you know, it's a little stressful as opposed to just being on autopilot when I come in.
I know. Now you understand me.
I do, but I miss that man.
I miss
him too.
He's
an amazing man.
An amazing man. We also spent yesterday recording more podcasts. We recorded a Patreon episode, our final one for August. And we did an entire book episode. So not only did we go through all the books we've read this year, rate them, talk about them, tried not to give too many spoilers. But then we also did a Q&A just about our reading habits, our favorite books. It ended up being really fun. And I think it was like one of the longest Patreon episodes. It was like way over an hour.
Yeah.
And we just got carried away with the literature.
That's what happens when you talk about books. This is what I've been saying. Like if you meet someone at a party and you guys both read and like you like Colleen Hoover, you can talk forever.
You know, let's talk about that. Because I kind of wanted to talk about this in the podcast, but we ran out of time. When you talk to someone about books, like, at least for me, like,
I put my best foot forward.
No, that's, well, of course.
But I'm not, like, saying Colleen Hoover.
Oh, I am. But what I was going to say was, like, I find the part of the conversation, like, where I recommend books and talk about the books that I love to be really interesting. But, like, hearing other people being like, you should read this book. I'm like, okay. Like, it's just, it's not that interesting. Unless you then get to the point where you both read the same book. Then that's, like, a funny, you know, interesting conversation.
But I guess so. I understand.
If you're just swapping recommendations back and forth, I'm like, yeah, cool. Yeah, try this one. You know?
Yeah. Obviously, you're more passionate about the books that you've read. But if you are talking to, like, a reader who you actually think you have similar taste as, like, it could be good to get a recommendation from them. That's how you discover great books. Like, the best books I've gotten are recommendations from people.
Well,
being I think you would like this.
I get all my recommendations from you, so.
Right. And they're all great. And you love every book that you've read.
And I love all my new toys. Like this one, the Love Island water bottle that I'm drinking lemon LaCroix out of. Mmm.
You like your water bottle?
I do.
It's so cool. I wish I got one for myself.
Yeah, why didn't you?
I don't know. I was just, like, I wasn't even thinking about me.
Ugh, what you're so selfless.
Who cares what I need?
Everyone.
You need to hydrate.
Everyone is worried about you. Everyone.
Thanks, guys. So, new Patreon episode is up all about books. And speaking of books, we're recording the Redheads tonight. Oh, my God. This is, like, my 7th podcast of the week coming up.
Yeah.
And it's Wednesday, and we didn't do a show Monday. So if you read We Are the Brennans, submit your questions to the Redheads Book Club at gmail.com. And if you haven't read it and you like to read or you're curious, definitely read this one. It was really good. But again,
I spoke to the snatcher last night. She said she, like, literally, and I don't know if she was, like, selling it extra hard because it was her selection. She was like, it was the best book I've ever fucking read.
That sounds like the snatcher.
Yeah. Like, promoting her own shit.
Yeah. No, she gets, like, really, when it's someone else's book, she has no time for it.
Yeah. That's she's so counselor.
And when it's her book, oh, my God, it was amazing.
Like, literally, like, Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah, because what happened, like, the fact that Before We Were Strangers was a Snitch's Pig and it's the most popular book, like, she just rides this high. It's been, like, a year and a half.
Yeah, I did read that one. It was really good.
Yeah, so I'm excited for the Redheads, see the girls, you know, get back together, see what everyone thought. It's never too late to become a Redhead. It's such a fabulous community and one in which I think you all should be joining.
And obviously a community of really kind of well-read, obviously, smart, you know, readers with taste, because they did vote Girl With No Job, The Crazy Beautiful Life of an Instagram Thirst Monster, the second best Redheads book that they read last year. So, I mean, I was expecting to come in last, I'm not going to lie. So, I'm not even mad at Renee.
Yeah, and you read that book and you loved it.
Loved. It was so good. My book was definitely not better than hers. But my book is really good, and it's available on Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, all the places, International Canada. Yeah, that's right. Canada. Eat some poutine while you read my book. Is that Canada?
Yeah.
Poutine, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what else? What's going on?
That's it for me, really. Just busy day and then watched Roni. So I'm excited to chat about everything.
Everything. I listened to more of Donda today.
Mm-hmm.
Then the song 24, banger. You heard it here first.
Okay.
I'm thinking radio play.
Okay. I'll check it out. Yeah. I didn't listen to Donda this morning. I just listened to my liked songs and it was quite enjoyable.
I mean, I don't know if this is, I don't know if I've spoken about this on the podcast yet. Do tell me if I have. But I've recently discovered, not discovered, but just realized, someone pointed it out, that I am a very big creature of habit. Have I told you this story?
No, I don't think so.
Because, like, whenever I'm eating dinner alone, I always FaceTime my friend Abe, so I, like, have some company. And he's like, what are you eating? And I'm always eating the same thing. He's like, you're really a creature of habit. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I am. Like, I refuse. If I find one thing I like, even if there's something better out there, like, I will stick with the one thing that I like. And now that I know this about myself, I've just become, like, more aware of it. Where was I going with the story?
I don't know. Donda?
Yes, thank you. So when it comes to listening to new music, I actually, like, have a really hard time. I'm like, I would much rather listen to a song from 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Than even, I have not been able to listen to Ben Platt yet. Like, it takes a lot for me, unless it's obviously, like, Taylor Swift or, like, but just, like, new music that I know I would like. No, I think I'll listen to this old Ben Platt album 45 more times.
No, I agree. Especially, I feel like when I was younger, maybe when I was just, like, in a different environment, like, working and stuff, it was, like, fun to listen to new albums as I sat at my desk.
Yes.
Like, but now it's, like, I only have so much time with music. I want to spend it on the songs that I know that I love.
And the ones that, like, bring me joy. Like, I don't know if an unknown song is going to bring me joy.
Yeah, I listened to, like, half the Ben Platt album. One song stuck out to me. The others just, like, weren't, it wasn't like the last album. Like, you don't have to worry about, you know, having an emotional breakdown.
Well, I listened to it in full while I was reading a book, and, like, it all just, like, flew by and I didn't even notice the what was going on.
It was just like a reverie.
It was so like a reverie.
Like a reverie.
What's the Adele song?
River Lee. The River Lee.
Okay, well, then I think we should just dive in, because, you know, like, we are girls who know what they want.
Yeah, I think we should dive in. We can't avoid these stories any longer.
Trust us. We've tried.
We tried. So without further ado.
Dot do.
It is time for the Fast Advice stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Oh, my turn?
Your turn.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Pill Club. If you're on birth control, remembering to take your pill is already enough work. Forget going to the doctor in person to get your prescription and picking it up from the pharmacy. The Pill Club wants to help take the work out of taking care of yourself. The Pill Club is a birth control subscription prescribed by a medical professional and delivered straight to your door. They carry over 120 FDA-approved brands at the Pill Club, and most brands of birth control are free with insurance or Medicaid. Otherwise, prices start as low as $9 a month without insurance. The Pill Club offers delivery birth control to your door for free in discreet packaging, and what's more is that their licensed medical team is just a text away to give you the best reproductive health care. So skip the office visit and waiting in line at the pharmacy and join the Pill Club. Right now, when you go to thepillclub.com/toast, the Pill Club is offering a $10 donation to bedsider.org for every Morning Toast listener who becomes a patient. Your donation will help low-income individuals get access to birth control through bedsider.org. So that's thepillclub.com/toast to get your first birth control care package and donate to help more women in need of affordable birth control. Reminder, it's at thepillclub.com/toast. Use that link if you want to make sure the donation is sent.
Thank you.
So that's just like a genius product. Like why?
Yeah.
Why hasn't that been?
Well, now we know.
Now we know.
First story. Vanderpump Rules moms reunite with all their babies. So you see this picture?
I did.
The Vanderpump Rules stars and new moms, Lala Kent, Brittany Cartwright, Sashi Schroeder, and Sheena Shea, gathered together with their babies for the first time for a mom's day out. It's seriously so crazy.
I know.
Like, one, it's crazy that this is the first time we're seeing all the Vander babies together.
I feel like they've been together, but without Sheena.
Yeah, but then it's just so crazy how all of this happened at the same time.
And it's so crazy, like, we're not going to see any of it. And we didn't see any of it.
Yeah, but, like, looking at this picture, I was just like, where are the cameras?
No, looking at this picture, I'm like, yeah, that's so cute. Like, oh, if only they had a reality show. Oh, wait, they did. And not only did they not film during COVID, half of these people are fired.
Right, exactly. But, like, the kids look the exact same age. They're all so cute.
They really are all the exact same age.
Yeah. And all of them are girls except for Brittany and Jax's son. So he has, like, all these.
That's so Jax. Where, like, his son is going to be, like, the number one guy in the group.
He's officially the number one guy in the group.
We spoke about this with Lauren and Michael on, I don't know if it was our podcast or theirs, because it was so many podcasting hours
blended together. Oh, yeah. We can't tell you what we spoke about on ours because we can't differentiate it from what we spoke on theirs.
I actually believe it was theirs.
I think it was ours.
About Vanderpump Rules?
Yeah.
Like, she was, like, so jazzed about the new season. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm so nervous. Like, and I still am. Like, she did not convince me.
I'm feeling jazzed about the new season. I don't know. Now it's been so much time that I actually, like, miss it. And I've watched so much bad reality TV that I'm like, where's the good stuff? Oh, that was Vanderpump Rules.
I know. But, like, now I feel like we're at this place with Vanderpump Rules where the people who are OGs, like Tom, Katie, Tom, Ariana, Sheena, like, they are not going to be acting wild. They all have so much to lose. Half of them are parents. Like, it's just not, they're not going to be acting wild. So then you bring in, like, these young people who are just so thirsty that, like, they're fake, you know, Danica, you know, throwing, like, it's just so contrived. There's no middle ground. That's, like, that's the beauty and the curse of a show like Vanderpump Rules. Like, at the beginning, they had nothing to fucking lose. They were all just, like, hungry for fame, and they just turned it around. Now, it's like, they're all celebrities. They have homes to pay for, mortgages, children. They're not going to be acting crazy. And then people like Charlie and Danica come in and see, like, oh, look, I could have a big house like Stassi. So let me be crazy. And it's just not authentic.
Yes, I
agree. So I don't know where we go from here, for real.
I know. But I feel like I look forward to watching them try.
Okay.
Because at least it's something new and interesting. And I'm just so tired of the crap we've been watching because I'm just having PTSD from last night's episode of Roni.
So am I. But, like, I just don't think we should be, like, grouping all these shows together.
No,
because
here,
we just came off of Love Island, which was a fabulous reality show.
Okay. Love Island.
Beverly Hills is 10 out of 10.
Beverly Hills is 10 out of 10. But then we also watched
Potomac is so good.
Too Hot to Handle.
Not great.
Garbage.
Not great.
Absolute garbage.
Not great.
I don't know what else I watched, but I just feel like reality TV, like, it's not doing what it used to do for me.
Maybe that's you.
It's definitely me, but it's also the TV.
It's both, for sure.
Yes,
but it's not as bad as you're making it seem.
I can recognize that it's me because, like, I'm maturing and evolving and, like, I just want more.
Isn't that crazy, though? Because, like, Real Housewives, like, used to be a show, like, for, like, older women.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's, like, not even good.
No, it's me and it's the shows. Like, everyone can agree that these shows are just not. And if it wasn't for, like, Erica Girardi's
case,
scandal of the year, like, Beverly Hills would be
Let me ask
boring.
You a question. Let me remember the question. Hold on.
Okay. Take your time.
Can you go back to what you were saying?
I've changed. The shows have changed.
Girardi is when I was like... Yes. Okay. So do you remember like most recent season of Orange County was so atrocious and obviously they went in and like Heather's back and they have all these new girls. How do you rate that really bad, like low point rock bottom of OC for what we just witnessed on New York? Because I think New York, like if OC was like a 2 out of 10, New York was a negative 6,000.
Yeah.
Like now I'm like, OC wasn't even bad.
Yeah.
There's no, something was, going on.
OC was really, really bad, but because of like the COVID interruptions, like the way that they had to film.
But like Bronwyn was being crazy. Like yeah, there was like something.
Elizabeth Vargas was like sharing her life story.
There was something there.
I agree.
There was nothing there last night.
There was nothing there last night. Okay, we'll get to it. We're moving on. I can't talk about like just the decline of reality television. I find it too depressing.
Oh, that's crazy.
Next up, Mike Richards has been fired as the Jeopardy executive producer.
You're lying.
After the host debacle. Yes. Richards, who was briefly appointed replacement host for the late Alex Trebek, has been officially disqualified as the EP for both that longtime game show and Wheel of Fortune. He had stepped down from the coveted hosting gig last week amid public outrage and resurfaced sexist comments. However, he was expected to remain at the helm behind the scenes while multiple guest hosts cycled through on screen. Show insiders confirmed on Tuesday that Richards was also relieved of his executive producer duties.
Okay, so I feel like there's two things at play here. One, like I feel like part of the reason why, I would say the reason he got fired from the hosting job is because of the comments that resurfaced on the podcast.
Yeah.
And then I would say the reason he probably got fired from his producing job is because there was many allegations that he had like a hostile work environment and he was like borderline abusive. So for me, like that actually makes sense. Like I really don't believe in like firing people because they said something on a podcast 8 years ago. Like that's just even, and I, by the way, I know I haven't seen the comments, but I know that they were deemed anti-Semitic and misogynistic, both of which apply to me. And I still just don't think people who said something 8 years ago should be fired. Like, I really don't. But if you actually are actively in real present time, like, making it a hostile work environment, like, you shouldn't be a producer.
Yeah.
Or director, whatever his job was.
Yeah, if that's what's happening, then right. Yes, I agree. The statement said, I'm writing to let you know that Mike will no longer be serving as EP of Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy effective immediately. We had hoped that when Mike stepped down from the host position at Jeopardy, it would have minimized the disruption and internal difficulties we have all experienced these last few weeks. That clearly has not happened. There's no mention of a hostile work environment that he created.
Oh, I saw that like on social media.
I saw something of that vein too, but there's no mention of stuff like that. So to me, this just feels like...
People were still mad that he
people
worked.
People were still mad.
Which and is that so
he
didn't, lame.
It wasn't enough that he lost the job, that he needed to lose his job too.
So he went from, you know, having the job that a million girls wanted to literally being unemployed.
Yeah.
Damn. I just feel like he's one of those guys who people just don't like.
Yeah, that was the vibe I got from that article that I
read. Oh, yeah, you said that. Yeah, that's why it's in my head. Damn, not a good week for Mike Richards.
No, but just crazy.
And in relation to Kyle and Kim?
I don't know. You should ask him.
Yeah.
Okay, next story. Kourtney Kardashian shares a Bible verse amid Scott Disick, Travis Barker drama.
Next story brought to you by Chirp?
Sure.
What a weird coincidence. Chirp is a brand dedicated to helping the world feel good so they can do more of the stuff that they love. In other words, they're all about feel good, do more. To do this, Chirp creates simple, innovative, and effective pain relief and prevention solutions. They started with a revolutionary wheel for back pain, but they're just getting started. And if you've experienced back pain, you have got to experience the Chirp. That is something that happened to me during COVID. I experienced back pain for the first time at the young age of 26, and Chirp just came in and really saved the day. They're all about helping people feel good and do more, and back pain can prevent millions of people from feeling their best, and when they don't feel their best, they're limited to what they can do. Chirp can help fix that with their patent-pending spinal canal and the 3 different pressure options to choose from. Chirp will help your back feel better so you can be back to doing what you love in no time. They offer 3 different pressure sizes, gentle, medium, and deep, so know your limits. Mine is gentle, Ben's is deep. And they have a spinal canal to comfort to your spine as well as the wheel to give your back 4 unique ways to stretch. Each wheel can hold up to 500 pounds, and they can be nestled together for easy travel to take with you wherever you go. So if you want 10% off their entire site, use promo code TOAST. GoChirp.com is the website, G-O-Chirp, C-H-I-R-P. GoChirp.com, promo code TOAST for 10% off site-wide.
Great.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I just had to get that off my chest.
Okay, I'm happy for you.
Oh, I feel better.
Courtney is turning to the Bible after Scott allegedly told another one of her ex-boyfriends that her PDA with Travis Barker was too much. So she tweeted on Tuesday, the only thing she posted that could possibly be in reference to this, she tweeted, quote, John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you wish and it will be done for you.
See, I was inclined to think that Bible verse is obviously going to be related to this whole drama, but I'm not really seeing this particular chapter, how it's applicable.
Me neither.
Like, basically she's saying because she believes in God, like, God is going to what, like, take care of Eunice and Scott? Like, I don't know.
I'm not familiar with the story of John, though, so maybe...
Is that New Testament?
Yes. Yeah. So I'm not... Maybe I'll miss it. It's possible that it has nothing to do with Eunice. She might have been a little more direct.
No, totally.
And she should really, like, post, like, those Chloe quotes that, like, give us more.
Chloe and her quotes. Chloe is low-key, like, so chuggy.
No, it's not. She doesn't even try to hide it.
Remember when her Instagram bio for, like, 15 years was... I crave a love so deep, the ocean would be jealous.
Yeah.
Which is, like, so something, like, Sheena Shea, like, has posted and, like, has tattooed on her arm.
Has a tattoo, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't really see this Bible verse, but I did also see, like, Amelia Gray posted an Instagram, and her caption was ... and now back to work, which was when Eunice did a follow-up Instagram story yesterday to the original DM, just being like, I'm tired of being the nice guy, la, 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 and now back to work. Now, it is a common phrase, but Amelia's so, like...
Okay, I saw that they two said, both of them said back to work, and I think they have nothing to do with each other, personally. I think it's that common of a phrase. Also, we didn't even think about yesterday how, like, Amelia should be offended by the whole situation that, like, Scott is out.
Still thinking,
like, still plotting and worrying about his
ex.
Totally.
That's actually a really good point that we totally glazed over.
So, like, now I'm feeling like, you know, they had a bad day yesterday.
Fight, you know, trouble in paradise.
They had a fight yesterday for sure.
No, I feel like their relationship is so unequal. Like, she's not allowed to raise concerns. I totally agree. You know what I mean? Like, you don't like it, leave.
100%.
Like, she...
A million teenage girls would kill
for this job. And, like, you have it, so you're not allowed to complain.
Yeah.
That's, like, really how I feel like the conversations go in their house.
Yeah. It's so... That's so
bad. I take back what I said. I'm sure it was just a regular day in the Disick Gray household.
It's so wrong.
It's so wrong. Whatever. I'm, like, happy Courtney's living her best life. Like, Venice Alta Moda.
Yeah. And she, like, had some delicious pasta last night. Did you? I guess, like, everyone's in Italy right now.
Yeah. For Venice Alta Moda.
True. And they're all posting their pastas. And I'm feeling influenced to have, like, a delicious pasta. Also, we were talking about Sclinatella with the Bostics yesterday.
Yeah, they went, because, you know, she posted on her Instagram, she said it's Blake Lively's favorite restaurant. I didn't know that. It's my favorite restaurant.
It's so fucking good. But then, like, Lauren posted her pot, let's go for lunch.
Yes.
Okay, cool. We'll Patreon.
Oh, we'll yes,
we'll vlog it.
Do you think they're open for lunch? It's also Sonia Morgan's favorite restaurant.
She said, like, a quick Google.
Yeah, she said that, like, she lives nearby and it's, like, the best date night restaurant. It's so good. They cook your pasta for you, like, right by the table.
It opens at noon.
Oh, my God. And by the way, it'll be empty for lunch. You have the best penne alla vodka.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
Do they do delivery?
No, they do DiGiorno.
Good one. No, I just feel like I've been in such a rut recently. Like, all I order is Japanese or Chinese, the same two places. Uh-huh. And, like, a couple, maybe 2 weeks ago, I was home alone. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. And I did take out Mr. Chow. And I had it for lunch the next day. It was such a treat. It was $1 million. But it was a treat. You know, not all the time. But I got to find some new places. And if Sclinatella delivered, like, I would be finished.
Okay. We'll find out when we go for lunch. We'll ask.
Oh, God, I'm so excited.
Okay, ready for our next story?
Yeah.
It's more backlash news.
Ugh. You know, these people, I can't.
It's getting crazier and crazier.
No, like...
Wait for this one. Sarah Paulson reveals she regrets wearing a fat suit for the Linda Tripp role in Impeachment American Crime Story after backlash. Sarah Paulson is responding to the criticism surrounding her decision to play the role of Linda Tripp in the upcoming series Impeachment, which revolves around the Bill Clinton-Monica Lewinsky scandal. In order to transform into Linda Tripp, the acclaimed actress gained 30 pounds, wore a nearly 5-pound fat suit.
Wow, 5 pounds?
Prosthetic teeth. No, like, it weighed 5 pounds on her.
Oh.
Prosthetic teeth, prosthetic nose, and a wig to emulate Tripp's signature 90s style helmet of blonde hair. Critics believe by taking the role, Paulson prevented a worthy actor with Tripp's larger body shape from getting the role in what will be the third season of American Crime Story.
You're kidding.
Mm-hmm. And in an interview with the LA Times, she didn't shy away from the controversy, admitting that she understands the criticism about the padded suit. She said, "It's very hard for me to talk about this without feeling like I'm making excuses. There's a lot of controversy around actors in fat suits, and I think that controversy is a legitimate one."
I don't, and I'm a fat person, so I feel like my opinion on this is more important than Sarah Paulson's. If I am playing, okay, here's a perfect example. I've just been cast in a movie, Jackie. Isn't that exciting?
So exciting.
I'm playing Kate Moss. They just said I need to lose a little bit of weight just to be accurate, seeing as how I'm going to be acting as her.
Right.
Is that great news?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
You have to look like the person.
Right.
It's not like it's a fictional story.
It's really crazy. Also, then, okay, so say she was of, you know, the same body shape as Linda Tripp, but now she's wearing prosthetic teeth. Maybe the role should have gone to an actress with Linda's teeth.
No, honestly, I have heard that the people from the, you know, the yellow teeth community are very upset. And I've also heard that the people with, you know, the very slim nose community are upset that she wore a prosthetic.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. And they should have let someone with a slim nose have the role.
Yeah. No, and she also had to wear a wig. So it should have been someone with the existing haircut.
Your kid.
Because they took away from a worthy actor with that haircut.
A wig?
A wig.
I'm done.
No, this is so, you guys,
absurd. I hate the world that we live in.
It's gone too far.
It's gone too far. I think conversations about, like, when people are cast, you know, there's finally, like, a gay role on Disney and they don't give it to, like, a gay kid. Like, I understand that. Like, let the gay kid have the role. I really do. But this, like, for real? Or, like, even when Jared Leto in that movie, he played someone transgender. Like, there's no roles for transgender people. Let someone transgender play the role. I understand all of that. But this, weight, it fluctuates. So you could be fat, you could be skinny. It's so stupid. People lose weight for roles all the time. They gain weight. So what? They use a little special effects. And by the way, I'm allowed to say this. I'm fat. So I just want to say, don't fucking come for me. Like,
oh, so you're just allowed to have an opinion.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
It's easy to forget.
No, like, do I think I should have had this role? Yes.
Yes.
Am I
but you're too young, and then the role should have gone to a worthy actor of Linda's age.
No, you know what?
The role should have gone to Linda.
Yes! That's what I was going to say. Like, honestly, where is Linda?
Linda should be playing Linda. Linda. Because no one else is Linda.
And the fact that Linda didn't time travel back in time to look like her, what was she, like 40 years old at the time? It's disgusting.
Yeah.
This is so stupid. I literally, like,
how they really made her look like her, though.
Let me see.
Like, okay, so that's Linda Tripp on the right.
Okay.
And then that's Sarah Paulson as Linda Tripp.
Oh, she's wearing a fat suit. Who cares?
Yeah. I didn't know that fat suits were offensive yet. I didn't know that.
No, but honestly, like, if this was me and I was Linda Tripp, like, I would just be annoyed that, like,
they're talking about
you guys think I'm fat? Like,
wait, she has to wear a fat suit? Like,
right? Like, that's, like, the only person who has the right to be offended is Linda Tripp being like, no, like, I'm not fat.
And now everyone's talking about it.
No, that's, you know what? We should really all just shut the fuck up just for Linda's sake.
Yeah.
If this was me, like, in my biopic and, like, they're like, you had to wear a fat suit.
How big was the fat suit?
Right. So she had to gain, how much did she weigh?
Wait, so she had to gain 30 pounds.
Like, that would be.
Yeah.
That is fucking rude and embarrassing. So leave Linda alone. Also, who's Linda in the story?
Linda is, like, the woman who was Beanie's, like, confidant, who Beanie was, like, telling everything.
Got it.
Who Monica was telling everything about her relationship with the president, and Linda was recording it.
I just have to say, I'm so excited about this show. Like, mm-hmm. It looks so good.
I just saw a review, a headline, that wasn't positive.
Really?
So that means it's probably good.
Totally.
Yeah.
But also, just in terms of, like, this story that we're talking about, I feel like, and this is how I felt about the OJ show, too, Ryan Murphy is known at the end of the show for O.J. Simpson, and they did side-by-sides of, you know, the actors who played the actual real person. I was floored. Like, everyone did such a good job of looking and acting exactly like the person that they were playing. And I feel like that's one of the best parts of a Ryan Murphy show. So, like, okay, if he thought Sarah Paulson was the best person for the role, should she have not gotten it because she's not fat? Like, we're just trying to make a movie here, you know? Or yeah. TV show, whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes it ain't that serious.
Yeah.
But, like, I understand Sarah Paulson, like, she doesn't want to be upsetting the fat community. But, Sarah, like, we're fine.
Okay, good. I'm glad you let her know that.
It takes a lot to offend the fat community because, like, we've been bullied our whole lives. That, like, nothing can hurt us. Sticks and stones, I am rubber, you are glue.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story, which is just like a bit of nonsense because all the stories are nonsense?
Is it?
Yeah. This is the only thing that can make the final story better because it's
the final story. Sorry, wait, this thing sucks.
Okay, okay. And you were so off.
Jeez. Off. You're like literally the guy from Step Brothers. Yeah,
no, but that's how bad it was.
Dude, it's the final story.
This story is not worthy of that song.
Oh no, what's the story?
Selling Sunset Stars. So,
I think we're going to say something about Sully.
I fucking wish. That would be worthy.
They have Heather Ray's engagement party.
Her bridal shower. And yeah. All the stars turned out. I don't see Christine there.
No, not everyone was there.
Who wasn't there other than Christine?
Danica.
Isn't that Danica on the right?
Let me see.
Yeah, Davina. Oh. Yeah, it's Davina. It says it
in
the caption.
Oh my God, Davina was there. Maya. Ready. Who's this girl? That must be a new girl. Chriselle. Oh, Amanza, Mary. Who's the girl on the left? Emma Hernan and Tina. Oh, Tina. Do we know a Tina?
I don't know.
So I guess these are the two new girls, Tina Louise and Emma Hernan.
So
I'd say this group of women is like the most best dressed. Like,
I know. That's when I saw this picture, I was like, they are so like stunning and best dressed. And it's like, I'm sure it's like nice to have friends who show up and show out for you. But like, this could be anyone's bridal shower here.
Yeah, except like Heather's the only one wearing white.
Yeah.
But I agree. Like they outdid her for sure. Chriselle looks so cute.
But just because like everyone looks amazing.
I'm really jazzed
really,
about.
Really, Davina looks really incredible.
And she's in the worst spot in the photo. She's like all the way at the end in the foreground.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for the new season of Selling Sunset. I just hope that it's like, I feel like so much happens on Instagram and in the press with the Selling Sunset people because they're so famous. And then like if we're watching a show, it's been so long since they filmed. If I'm watching something that happened like over a year ago, like no, I want to see Jason and Chriselle pretend to be boyfriend and girlfriend. Like that's what I'm interested in. So if we're not getting that and we have to wait till like next season and then they're both already like remarried to new people, I'll be annoyed.
Yeah.
Netflix does need to get better with that, with their turnaround time.
I agree. I hope it happens soon. But
and now that I know that people like you can do Love Island. There's no reason, like, reality shows shouldn't have 1 week turnaround times.
I agree.
And the Kardashians should have been doing that forever.
Even, like, a month.
Yeah, like, we were getting 2 days, like, literally 36 hours later, we were getting episodes from Love Island.
Yeah, it's really so crazy.
It is so crazy.
So, anyway, she celebrated a fig and olive, also sounds delicious, on Sunday for her bridal shower. Just a few more, in Newport Beach, just a few more months until she ties the knot to Tariq.
Honestly, like, they will be insufferable, like, during their wedding and all the pictures.
I know, and I feel like this bridal shower is, like, the kickoff for, like, the next month of them, or few months of them, like, thirsting out.
And I feel like, you know, there's so many festivities you could have with a wedding. There's engagement party, bridal shower, bachelor party, bachelorette party. Not everyone does all of them. I didn't have an engagement party. Heather will not let one event go by unmissed.
No.
She's going to go into every culture.
Us Weekly will be at every single one of them. Like, yeah, she's going to find events.
She's going to convert to Judaism so she could have like
a tish
and a bedeckin and a henna. Like she's just going to have a million parties before she actually gets married. And you know what? I feel like Christine Quinn was
with the cupcakes
on point in her criticism of Tariq and Heather just being like, it's like always something with their publicists, like fake paparazzi and like a million our cupcake recipe. Like she was 100% right. Like that's exactly who Heather is.
100%.
And it's boring.
I agree.
And, like, Christine is too busy, like, being fabulous, pushing her child around in a Louis Vuitton stroller to have to time for these events.
Yeah.
I just hope, like, it's, you know, I feel like whenever we take sides in, like, you know, reality TV shows, like, we're always on the losing side. Like, why is Christine the only girl not there?
I don't know. Maybe she wasn't invited.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Or maybe she just didn't go. But I hope she doesn't, like,
isolate herself.
Her distaste for the ladies doesn't, like, just wind up her becoming irrelevant on the show.
Right.
But she could never be irrelevant.
No, she's literally the most interesting to look at.
Yeah.
And now she has this whole new life with this man and their baby and their house. Like, I just want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I just, like, love that she settled down, like, so fast.
It's the craziest turn
with, you know,
events.
Like, not like, you know, she's not like Heather, like, going out for, like, the most famous. Like, a simple guy who obviously loves her. And I think we could all learn a lot from Christine Quinn.
For a number of reasons, we could.
Yeah. Well, from one really good reality show to a terrible one, This is going to be our TV recap segment where we recap for this, hopefully second to last time, but I feel like it'll be a two-part reunion. The Real Housewives of New York. Last night was the season finale, thank God. And the TV recap is brought to you by Cove. No two migraines are alike. And if you experience migraines, you know. The doctors at Cove know this too, and they only treat migraines. And Cove is the leading online migraine clinic. It specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of a migraine, all from the comfort of your own home. With one specialist per 80,000 migraine sufferers in the U.S., Cove makes quality care accessible and affordable. Go to withcove.com and complete an online consultation designed by leading neurologists. It's as thorough as an in-person doctor visit. Then a licensed doctor will review your migraine history and recommend a treatment plan specifically for your needs. What's more is your prescriptions will be delivered right to your door. There's no waiting for a doctor's appointment, no pharmacy lines, just specialized care to help you control your migraine. What's even better is that Cove is super affordable. Their doctor's fees and prescriptions are as little or less than most insurance co-pays. Prescriptions start at just $10 a month, and with Cove, you can have more migraine-free days. Go to withcove.com/toast for 50% off your first month of medication and free two-day shipping. That's 50% off your first month of medication and free two-day shipping with withcove.com/toast, that's spelled withcove.com/toast, withcove.com/toast for the 50% off and free two-day shipping. That's a really good deal.
Slash toes.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It had to be done.
Really?
You do it to me every day.
Of course, but like literally like, that's an ad. Like, we have to respect the
then
ad.
It's unbalanced because you're always reading ads. So then I can never come for you. And I usually don't.
No, but I literally talk, like, all the time. You can make fun of me whenever you want, except the ads.
No, but usually the talking, making fun of is from the reading, the assigned reading material.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah. For sure. Okay, fine. That's fair.
Okay.
I'll allow it. I have to go blow my nose. Will you just tell everyone what happened on The Real Housewives in New York?
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, sure.
I'm literally still struggling with the altitude because I've got that altitude. So I'm sorry. There's mucus coming down my nose.
Okay.
Just give me a minute.
We kicked off the last, final, and worst episode of Roni with Pin the Tail on the Dubin, and Harry Dubin calls, and everyone's like being so embarrassing, I would say. Can you hear her? Nice. Okay, good. So you have to hear what I have to hear. So it was just like really beyond stupid, nothing to say there. Then the rest of the episode is about how they're gonna, they went to a Greek restaurant and they smashed plates and they talked about what they were letting go of.
And they've all been saying the same things that they're gonna let go of for the last 50 years.
Right. And Sonia's letting go of asset management. Ooh. And Leah's in love with her ex. Who knew?
Plot twist. That was weird. I feel like she wasn't drunk actually, because she's sober. Like, what? Where the fuck did that come from?
I don't know. I mean, I guess we never asked her how she felt about him, but I guess like she wanted more from him.
And I guess he like disappointed her in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I guess she's kind of resigned herself to being just a co-parent until her daughter's old enough to like, you know, be on her own, which is really sweet. But I guess it you know, every once in a while, like she said, it gets to her, and she that is really sad. Like,
yeah.
She's such like a fabulous, vibrant woman. She deserves love, but she doesn't think that that's what it should be like right now.
Yeah, I just like can't really care.
Okay, I'm just trying to tell you.
No,
what happened. I'm trying my best.
We're compelled by this story at all. Like,
understood.
I'm just not.
Then, on the Pin the Tail of the Dubin, they also all took their shirts off. I found that to be like really crazy.
No. Talk about like last ditch effort. Like, they think like, oh, it's not a good episode, let me show my titties. Like, actually, no, we're all good. We've seen all of your titties a million times. You know, when you're drunk in Turks and Caicos, that's one thing. That's fine. Totally acceptable. But like, literally in Ramona's Hampton's like, house, in the tiny living room with like cameramen everywhere. Like,
and like the bright lights and just like
brave.
It was shocking to me. I mean, they all are like stunning and
breasts are lovely.
Wonderful breasts aplenty. It wasn't about, you know, whether the breasts were worthy or not. It was just like, what is going on?
No, totally. I think honestly, like, they were just trying to keep us abreast.
I felt very much kept abreast. I really did. Okay, so then after the Greek restaurant, they come back to Ramona's house and they're all going to dress up as each other,
which I have to say is like a really funny like premise. And I thought it should have been funnier.
But also it's something that could really go south, but it took the other direction.
Yes, it could. But they made sure to like poke fun at each other, but then have that game where they say nice things about each other, which was smart.
Which was smart and sweet. They chose people who have the most conflict to dress as each other, which was, you know, again, could have been scary, but it all worked out. Ebony and Luann dressed as each other. Vershawn and Sonia dressed as each other.
Dressed the best.
Okay, best dressed was Ramona.
Me too.
Who dressed as Leah. And worst dressed was Leah, who dressed as Ramona.
Yeah, like, I feel like when you dress up as someone, like the worst things you think about them come out, and like, literally, like, Leah cannot get over this blood plasma thing.
Oh my god, she can't get over it.
It's over a year old.
So stupid. And the dress, like, that was a Leah dress. That wasn't Ramona's.
Would never wear a short dress like that.
Oh my god, with her like butt hanging out. Like, no. Never. She never has. She never would. Also, Ramona doesn't wear makeup. What was with her face makeup? There was none.
No.
And then like the Karen wig, it was just,
it was not good.
It was horrific.
But Leah's costume, Ramona's costume as Leah with the leopard and the gum and the hair, it was great.
It was great. No, yeah. She was great, and she you committed.
She was being funny.
Oh, and she was having so much fun. She reminded me of me on Halloween, where you just like the person,
the persona, the
takes over.
No, she's looking in the mirror and she's like, I'm so hot, I want some cock. Like, she was being funny.
She was really funny. But Leah was a huge disappointment. The blood plasma, like, I need Leah to get the Q score reports back and find out that nobody cares that Ramona said she donated blood plasma, but probably was just getting her antibodies tested. Like,
and by the way, like, I don't know, I wasn't there at the, you know, medical center in Palm Beach, but I'm almost 100% sure that Ramona really for a while thought she donated blood plasma, like thought she did something, when she actually just got tested for antibodies.
100%. I think the same thing too.
Yeah.
Because Ramona's not someone who really like lies.
She's not a liar. She's just like silly.
Confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was not here for it. And also like just walking around with like an IV drip in this like time, so it was like a little like
out of touch.
Out of touch. It just felt a little out of touch.
I don't know. Let's talk about out of touch. When literally Leah was making a speech at the end that like this country could take a page out of their book because they've all spoken about their differences. Like, no.
Okay. It was annoying because it came from Leah.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, I kind of understood what she was saying.
No, I know. But like really out of touch. Like people should be looking to you guys.
No. No one should. Okay. Yes. Agreed. No one should be looking to
them. No, but I agree. They've all worked past their differences and they all have different backgrounds.
And they all have different opinions and they're having the time of their lives. And so yes, it can be done.
I don't know if the world should be looking at them for guidance, but I thought it was a nice moment for sure.
And I thought she made a nice point. Again, the world, please do not look at these women for guidance.
I thought that it's so easy to do Countess, like just walk around in Giovanni. Like she makes it so easy. But I thought that Luann did a really good job of Ebony.
Yeah.
Holding court.
Yeah.
With Ebony. I thought it was good.
And the answers that everyone gave, and Vershawn and Sonia were great.
So I mean, funny.
I thought Sonia was great as Vershawn. I feel like Vershawn could have done more as Sonia.
Yeah, I know. Because like Sonia's never so much.
Sonia's never worn that outfit in her life.
No, but I think her jacket was Sonia by Sonia Morgan, which is why Vershawn thought she like did completed enough. The assignment. Yeah.
It wasn't.
No, it was uncompleted.
So then they all went around the table and answered questions like as their alter ego, which showed that they all understood each other more than the viewers probably thought.
I know there were six women at the table, but the whole episode just really felt like there were none of, like, it just felt like the smallest group of housewives and, like, so insignificant and, like, another trip to Ramona's. It was just, it was atrocious. And honestly, I wish I could offer some insight. People are like, bring back Bethany and Dorinda, but honestly, like, I don't know if recycling old housewives is the move. Like, I think at some point, like, the show has to, like, shed its skin and move on and, like, and find real affluent married people. Like, not keep recycling the same people. Bring Bethany back a third time. Like,
would you start keep fresh, anyone? Maybe.
I would keep Ebony. And I have a very soft spot in my heart for Ramona. And she's funny. I'm sorry. Like, I know everyone hates her, but, like, she is fucking funny and she's entertaining.
I would keep. Well, that's what the Dumois item said. That
what?
Like, that they're really shaking things up at NBC and they would only keep Ramona and Ebony.
I feel that. Like, honestly, because you know what? Sonia, her time has come. Mm-hmm. And you know what? So has Luann. Like, I actually think Luann is in such.
Luann would be friend of because NBC owns some of her cabaret.
Fabulous. Sonia's got to go. And honestly, like, Leah's not doing what she thinks she's doing. And also, I just don't think Leah leads an affluent enough life. I'm sorry. Like, this is a show about affluent people. And Ramona, as she works very hard to keep that lifestyle. Ebony has that lifestyle. Like, you need people with that lifestyle. And the thing is that I think makes it really hard in certain cities is like, and I think this is probably what goes on in New York, like the actual like really rich married women of New York like do not want to be on TV. Like, they yeah. are private. Their husbands don't want to be on TV. Their kids don't want to be on TV. So I think that makes it difficult.
Yeah, but there are people who who would do it.
Yeah.
And even like these ladies, when we first met them, they were those women. Luann.
Yes, which is why it's so crazy how far they've come. But like when you think about all the women we've picked up along the way, like none of them have really been like that girl, like that lifestyle. Like Jules Weinstein, like no. You know what I mean? Like, sorry, Cindy Barshop, like no. Like when you think, I just feel like they actually have a hard time finding women who have that lifestyle who will agree to be on TV.
Yeah.
Because when I think of all the one-hit wonders, people, Kristen Takeman, like who we've picked up along the way, no. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I like Heather. I think I would bring back Heather.
Yeah, but not if Leah was there. She wouldn't come back.
Leah should not be there.
You think?
She's not it.
But okay, she had one amazing season. Yeah, and one horrible bad one. So she's back at zero.
Okay.
I like Leah. I feel like maybe, you know, when you do so well in your first season, you really think you can do nothing wrong.
You get like an ego.
And I think maybe she just like misread every situation.
That's possible.
Because she thought there was like no way that she could be wrong.
Yeah.
And maybe this will be like humbling.
Okay.
And then if it's Leah, Ebony, and Ramona, they should each bring on one friend.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then also bring back Tinsley. I would bring back Tinsley.
Yes.
Meh. Yeah.
She wasn't even great when she was
like,
on.
Like, the most interesting thing about her is that she left.
Right. And that was, like, kind of, like, the first time since I met her on TV that I actually had respect for her.
Yeah, I agree.
So now she's going to come crawling back.
She stay on.
Yeah, like, no. See, the thing is, I don't know what the right...
Me neither.
...medication for this problem is. Like,
but it's a problem we're seeing in a lot of franchises because it's the same issue of, like... The shows have been on for so long. It's very formulaic. Women who... When it first started, you didn't know how big it was going to become, like how your life would change either positively or negatively. And it was just like a fun adventure. And there were so many reality shows at the time. Like now you know exactly what to expect. So who's going to come on and do anything that's going to paint them in a bad light? Then you just have boring shit happening.
Right. But if you do find a person who's willing to do that, it makes a franchise. Jen Shah. Like she acted even beyond her case, like she acted atrociously.
Yeah.
And it was amazing television. So there are still people out there.
That's true. But then for me, like, I do get to the point where it's like, I would rather watch boring TV than watch these toxic people.
I know. It's actually a really like fine line. Yeah. It's a fine line. Like Dorinda.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's that on that. There's no recap of New York next week, finally. Hullaby.
And
we'll see how many parts the reunion is.
Yeah. And then we have Beverly Hills on tonight, which always just feels like a reward for a job well done on having watched New York.
Completely.
Mm-hmm. I also heard Bachelor in Paradise last night was really good.
Really?
Yeah, but I just couldn't watch two more hours of television after the 3 hours it took me to watch New York. So maybe I'll watch it, but I'm glad I skipped a few episodes because it felt like I don't think anything really major happened.
No, and I've just been living like so peacefully in my own mind, knowing that I'm not watching that
but
show.
But if I do watch it, I'm happy to recap it for you because it seemed like you liked my recaps.
Like, yeah.
No, you didn't.
I don't want you to feel pressure. Like, read a book. I'm really not into Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, wow. Okay, so she's saying no.
I would rather you, like, explain to me, like, The Woman Who Loved Wallace or whatever that book was. You know what I mean? What was that book
the
called?
The Woman Before Wallace.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Like, I can't really explain how much I don't care about Bachelor in Paradise. And you know what I've realized? Like, Bachelor in Paradise, in terms of relevancy, is really going down because it used to be, like on TikTok especially, like if somebody from Bachelor in Paradise or Bachelor like made a TikTok about while the show was airing, like about them, like, oh, a bug flew on my face, like whatever, it would go viral. Now I keep seeing really sad contestants like trying to go viral.
Like who?
Demi. The only one who's actually doing a fair job, but she's not even going crazy viral, is Tammy, because she's like being funny and self-deprecating. But like I just can't, and I don't even recognize some of these people. I just know that they're on Bachelor in Paradise because they're like hashtagging it, and it's like, it's not viral. Like, it's actually really sad.
That's really sad.
That's how you know, like, less and less people give a shit, especially people on TikTok. Like, the young generation, like, they don't care. Also, TV recap. I spoke a lot about it on the Patreon episode from last night.
Oh, my God.
So I don't want to, like, bore everyone.
Okay, doubling. No, but I think you need to double dip.
I watched She's All That, you guys, and it was fucking amazing. Like, Addison is an absolute megastar. Like, the scenes that she wasn't in were atrocious, and I was like, this movie sucks. But she was... sparkle. Like, I can't even... She was such a good actress, first of all. Second of all, she deserves an Oscar. Like, it was so good. I loved the element of the influencer. I thought they did a really good job kind of explaining and showcasing how kids are these days in high school with social media. It's totally true. It was just... amazing. I did not like the kid who played Cameron, her love interest. And honestly, he was like the worst fucking attitude of all time. Like, it's not cool to do photography. Like, just get a phone.
Yeah, and like you're taking pictures of strangers. Like, that's really invasive. And you're taking pictures of the garbage can.
Yeah. And like, honestly, get a cell phone. Like, it's not cool to like not love like people and cell phones. Like, I just did not like his vibe at all.
Yeah. But I thought Addison turned him around.
Yeah. And Addison was so cute and sweet. And I just really feel like she's a nice girl.
Because like, her character was just like emanating niceness. And so it was actually.
And she's not like such a, you know, experienced actor. So she had to play someone who was kind of similar to her.
Yeah. And it was actually like a hard sell that she, you know, had this bet going. Mm-hmm. That there was like this side of her that was even that ruthless because she was just such a sweetie.
I loved the ending. I loved the homage they paid to the original movie because her mom was in it. The principal was the guy from the real world in the original movie. They both wore red dresses. There was a dance-off at the prom. It was very subtle but sweet. And I really loved that they actually cast the mom. I thought she was great. And I just loved every minute of it.
Yeah, but even like when they went to the party, the Gatsby-themed party, and he goes in the pool. Like, that's like when...
Oh, yeah.
In the first movie when
she falls
in
the pool.
Yeah.
Or they push her in the pool.
I think one
that girl Taylor
other?
Pushes her.
Yeah. And then in Not Another Teen Movie, they also pour bottles of water on her.
Jackie, I literally confuse He's All That with Not Another Teen Movie all the fucking time.
Yeah. There's a lot of movies in there that make it confusing.
Yeah. That they're like doing satire on. And I'm like, was that the original or the satire?
Yeah. No, it's
Cruel Intentions.
Bring It On.
Yeah. That's such a good movie.
Such a good movie. I'm so glad you watched it and that you liked it and that you had the same opinions of me, including the stylist sabotage.
Oh, yeah. The wardrobe, the wedge, the budget for the wedges was literally astronomical because it was a new pair of like wedges that Ramona Singer wears in Cancun. Like, it's just not a thing. Like, burn all the wedges.
Yeah. What did you think about Courtney?
Oh my God, you know, I actually thought she was pretty good. Like, yeah. Her role was bigger than anticipated, but still very small. And I thought that, you know, she wasn't as cringy. I saw her act in Dave, and it was really fucking cringy. And I feel like she took a couple lessons, because she was pretty good.
Yeah, she was believable. And it's crazy, like, how her, like, you know, influence in the movie, like, she was a big part of the storyline.
Bunny Venom.
Yeah.
Venom Bunny or whatever.
Yeah.
So cute. I loved it. And I cannot wait to see Addison act in something else.
I know. It was so good, you guys. And I have no time for anyone who thinks otherwise.
Same. But we do have time for our interview with Michael and Lauren Bostic. It is coming up. I hope you guys enjoy it. And we are on their podcast. I believe that drops tomorrow, but don't quote me on that. But in the meantime, just enjoy this episode and the interview with Lauren and Michael. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Welcome back to The Toast. We are so excited to be sitting down with a couple who literally has all my love and respect. Because I'm going to start this off with a story. So hello, Lauren. Hello, Michael. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Respect. Also welcome Michael's hair.
Yes.
Respect. We'll see how it goes.
Let me tell
this.
You why.
Okay.
So what was it? A month ago? Maybe more. Jackie was somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
She was out of town. And instead of taking the week off, I was like, let me do the show with like guest co-hosts. And I got Taylor Strecker and people who were in town. My friend Brian Kelly, the points guy. And then I ended it with my husband because people love when Ben comes on the podcast. And of course, it's easy for me. We could take a cab together. And I have a lot of trauma from that one particular episode because, you know, me and Ben were just talking like we usually do. I didn't really think much of it. And when I posted the episode, like, the backlash was so real. They were like, you guys did not stop fighting. You're so mean to Ben. And I'm like, what? I'm like, we were just doing our usual thing. And I vowed, seriously, to never do a podcast with Ben again, even though I was thinking, like, of actually starting a separate podcast on Toast News Network with Ben. Idea, trash. Like, I have so much trauma. I will never podcast with Ben again. And the fact that you guys not only podcast together, own a business together, do literally everything on planet Earth together, like, respect.
Work together on the daily and still
we
are happily married.
We don't. People think that about us. I work on The Skinny Confidential and he works on Dear Media and we come together to podcast. So people think we work together all day long. We don't.
Okay. But to even podcast, I actually heard you say that. I listened to your episode with Sophia with an F and I listened to both and I love them.
Love her.
Love. Yeah, love. But even the fact that you do a podcast weekly together as man and wife is
eight times
admirable.
Eight times a month now.
Two episodes a week.
Yeah.
Commendable.
Well, but I have a nervous breakdown like at least three times a month. Last night we went to Scalina Telly. I like blacked out basically and just like laid into him for like 2 hours.
Lauren holds all her rage for like two months.
That's healthy.
And then we go out to what I think will be a romantic, nice dinner. And
it's
all
such
that
a romantic
rage,
restaurant.
Yes. And it's small in there and it's quiet.
Yeah,
and people
it's
are
hot
like,
too.
People are like, what is this wife doing?
I have a hot tip for anyone who wants to just like let it out. go to a small intimate restaurant. So if the guy tries to talk back, you can say, just bitching him, and he's embarrassed because if he says anything, it's going to look like you're fighting.
Yeah.
So you can just let it all out, unleash all your rage. And if he says anything, he's too embarrassed in front of
the
people.
Yeah, we live in a very sexist society.
Yeah.
But like, my question for you is like, how do you deal with people commenting on the dynamics of your relationship? Because honestly, not a lot offends me, but like my marriage is very personal to me. And it bothered me a lot that people were commenting like, you're being mean. Like, you guys don't stop bickering. Like, shut up. We have a great marriage. Like that's one thing. Like, if you come at me for like that actually gets me. It hurts me. Like, how does that not bother you?
I don't read my own press clippings. So what I mean by that is I try not to read all the positive because that I think feeds my ego. And I try to not read the negative. And that comes with a long time of doing this. I've been blogging for 13 years. So it's very easy to get wrapped up in yourself and thinking, oh, you're so great. And it's very easy to get into the negative reviews.
So true.
So I just feel like I love connecting with my community. I DM, I voice note all the time. Like if people DM me, I'll try to voice note. But I really try not to get stuck in the reviews. And when someone's commenting on my marriage, I think the unlock is that they don't know every single part of my marriage. They see a piece of my marriage. So if they want to comment, like, that's their prerogative.
Okay. Right. Also, like, for people who comment that, like, you're bickering and you're married, like, then they're clearly not married because that's just how
that's
it is.
That's what being married
or
is.
Or they haven't been married long because, like, that's – you get into, like, a rhythm. Like,
honestly, bickering, that's not healthy.
Bickering turns me on. Like, it's like, it makes me hot. Like, what do I want to sit with, like, Mr. Boring that doesn't have a personality? Totally. Like, throw me the ball back.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two things I don't comment on with people's personal life, their relationship or their parenting. Right. Yeah. Because I think it's so different for everybody. And what people could maybe see Lauren and I, and listen, we get heated sometimes. And like, she is a very outspoken, aggressive, loud woman. I mean that with respect.
Of course.
What do you love about me though?
And like, that's what I fell in love with personally. Like, that's like what gets me going. Right. Like that's what I was attracted to. And I think people see that, like, I would never be like that with my husband, and maybe their husband wouldn't like it if they were. But for us, like, that's, I mean, we've been together since, you know, we were 21 years old. We met when we were 12, like, clearly it works for us,
right?
But I would never say this formula would work for anyone else. And I also tell everybody, like, please do not work with your significant other, and like, unless you're both 100% on the same page, because it is very fucking hard.
I guess the way we feel about you guys working together, like, we would never do that, is the way people feel about working with their sisters, when it's like, how the fuck would you literally work with anyone but your sister?
That is a very, very self-aware thing, what you just said.
Thank you for saying that. I always try and be self-aware. That's like the one thing I want people to describe me as.
A self-aware is such a sexy word.
And you know what's not sexy? Not being self-aware. That's the worst thing you could be.
Yeah. Ever. I agree. I totally agree.
I feel like Jackie and I talked about you guys a lot during quarantine because you moved. Like, you did what everyone should have done.
A lot of people moved in 2020, but I don't think any move hit me like yours did. Yeah. Like, where just, I would say, my complete and utter jealousy just took over. So did you guys move because of COVID? Were you planning to move before the pandemic ever?
And why Austin?
This is what happened, and you might be experiencing this. I got pregnant, and when I got pregnant, you get super in tune and super intuitive. And I remember walking down the street, and in LA, there's like construction going on, and there's a lot of homeless. Like, there's a problem there, and it's a lot of sounds, ambulances. It's a lot of cortisol.
It's triggering.
And I was thinking, I'm like, do I want to be walking a stroller down this street? And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember literally I stepped on, like, not like with bare feet, but with my shoe, a heroin needle, like, outside our house. Like, it just was a lot of, I'm going to say, cortisol. Mm-hmm. Where we lived. Listen, I'm not talking about all of LA. I'm talking about where we lived. Mm-hmm. So I started to crave more nature, more sanctuary, more of a family home that my daughter could grow up in. Mm-hmm. And also it's what you can get in LA compared to Austin. It's like so crazy.
Crazy.
And so he recommended Austin. And the second I went there, I was like, this is it.
You know, a lot of people in California are going to get really pissed at me. Like, obviously, we were born and raised in San Diego, which I think what people don't realize about California is it's so big and there's so many different pockets, right? There's like San Diego, then there's Orange County, then there's Los Angeles, then you get up to NorCal, and you have Napa, and you have all these places, San Francisco, and all of these places are like vastly different because it's a massive state. And so I don't want to just shit on all of California. People get like mad at me, but like, LA is a fucking shit show. It's not And it's something died this year in LA, and it's not coming back for a long time. People are going to be so mad at me. I'm like, you're talking to somebody who's like born and bred, lived in California forever.
I mean, we are the exact same way, but about New York, born and bred, we've lived here forever. Something died here. You know, we're like, at least for me, like a self-hating New Yorker at this point. I think New York, it's in some ways, you know, it's come back and there's life in certain areas, but in so many ways, it's like not going to be the same for a very long time.
When we moved to LA, we went, briefcase mentality. We didn't get caught up in like the nightlife, going out, social life. Like it was there, work,
no networking,
build your media.
Right.
But like, I never thought like, hey, I can't wait to raise a family here.
Yeah.
And then honestly, like with COVID and the riots, like at one point I had to debate, and listen, this is again, not political, but just true. I had to debate like, do I go and help our sister who's down the street on, you know, Melrose with a cop car flipped over and burning, or do I stay with my wife and kid with helicopters flying around? I'm like, I got to have 1-year-old. Like, why do I want this? Mm-hmm. And personally, like growing up, I feel like I've always been called to a place like Texas. My favorite authors are Larry McMurtry and Cormac McCarthy. And I read all these Western books, and my dad was from like out back that way in the Midwest, and like just following these stories. And I feel like I just like, as soon as I got to Texas, I'm like, oh, my soul, and this sounds weird, is like alive again. And I felt happy.
You're speaking
like our souls. Language. Like
I was just like, why? Like, this is like what happiness is to me. And it's in the middle and it's between. And I just feel like
it's dead quiet when you sleep. There's not, I want you so to actually crazy. Imagine this. There is not one sound besides the bugs chirping.
Well, here's the other thing.
It is like
peace. That's gorgeous.
We're in a red state, but in a blue progressive city, which kind of gives a nice melting pot of different perspectives and different people. When I first got there, so weird. You go out in the neighborhood and like people wave to you and say hello. And I'm like,
Michael,
what the fuck is
Michael,
your problem?
Hold on. This
That's
is Michael.
Nuts.
Michael's with his coffee. He's like, morning. This motherfucker goes around the street. I'm not joking. Morning.
Oh my God. That's
it's so welcoming. It's polite. People are happy. Great music scene. Great food scene. Like there's culture there. Like I just felt like this is where I want to raise a family.
Also, this is so nuts. In LA, the baby, when we stay there, will not go outside for a week.
Yeah.
Like, she just will stay inside. And here this is so crazy. Jackie's going to like.
Is the baby Jackie, here with you?
She is. She's here. She's grounding. Like, she'll go outside and put her feet on the grass and she touches trees. And I know this sounds so crazy. Look it up. It's called earthing and grounding. It's so good for you to touch the earth every morning. And I know this.
No, by the way, I believe that for sure.
Okay. Yeah. No,
I know that sounds psycho.
Well, here's the sacrifices. I mean, if you live in the big, let's say like San Francisco, LA, New York, Chicago, like bigger cities in the country, like, okay, I will pay higher cost of living. I'll be in a smaller space. I'll be on top because there's ease of access. There's great restaurants. There's business opportunities, all these things. Yeah, I'm going to pay more in tax, all these things. All those are factors, but you're willing to kind of like make sacrifices because the opportunities exist to do different things. You start taking those opportunities away. You start making it dangerous or too expensive or whatever.
Like, restaurants go out of business.
Yeah, you're like all the time. You take the fun out of it. You're like, why the fuck am I doing this? Like, mm-hmm. Just go to a place where you can enjoy life a little more.
I feel like every New Yorker has that moment where they're like chasing a cockroach out of their apartment or like hunting down a mouse, and they're looking around at their tiny shitty apartment and they're like, why do I live here? And that feeling comes and goes, but I feel like during COVID it was really hard to ignore that feeling, because like, you know, New York, you live in tiny, ugly, disgusting apartments, but there's so much life outside that you never really even notice, because your apartment, you're only there, you know, an
to
hour
sleep.
A day.
Yeah.
But we never had time to sit and self-reflect because everything's go, go, go. And with COVID, you had to take a really honest look at yourself.
And everyone just fled.
Yeah. Everyone just fled like the cockroach
that won't flee.
Yeah.
That won't
I flee. Also, like, do you guys know your human design?
No.
What
I'm going to send you
that?
The link. You got to get your human design.
Okay,
everyone
we'll do a
Patreon episode.
We love doing, like, we love taking personality tests, like, on podcasts. And
I
really
bet your community, I bet you a lot of them know the human design.
Okay. What does it tell you?
It tells you, like, what kind of energetic, I'm probably flubbing this, person that you are. So my human design is a reflector. The energy that someone gives me, I reflect back to them. Hmm. And I think with LA,
I'm a vortex. I just steal everyone's energy. Is that the thing?
There's like a manifestor generator. Like, I bet you that's what you are.
There's projectors.
Do you guys know your enneagrams?
No, I got
you.
So
you don't.
Texted
every
that one.
Podcaster should know their enneagrams. Yeah. What else do you do
it's
on these episodes?
That's disgraceful that we don't know our enneagrams.
I'm an enneagram one, so that's like type A. But I'm not, but sure. And she's enneagram 3, which is like people pleaser.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hold on. You don't think you're type A?
No, I think it's so
weird.
We're
talking about self-awareness here.
In so many respects, like I am, and even in the things that we talked about, and there's so many things I'm like extremely like meticulous about, but I'm also like the laziest bitch alive. Like It's literally packages
built an empire.
Packages sit in my foyer for like days until there's eight, and I'm like, okay, I'll open them all at once.
No, you got to delegate. You got to hire an assistant that helps you open them.
Oh no, but like, why can't I open my packages when they come? I don't know.
Well, because you don't want to ruin your nails.
No, but like, it's really crazy how like I don't do things like when I need to do them with emails or just like I don't get back to people like. And that's not type A personality
but
at all.
But you're focused your energy towards building what you want to build. Like, you're pushing the boulder up your empire, not worried about what other people are.
Type A is you're doing what you want to do, I think. That's my definition of it. Like, and, you know, obviously you can be respectful in that process, but, like, you're basically waking up being like, I'm
you're
living my life.
Your incredible wedding my way or that the highway. You planned, yes. You don't think you're type A? I've never
no,
seen a wedding
like that. You should
have
seen the way that I planned it. Like, I was so indecisive. I never, like, had a vision about what I wanted it to be. So when I had to make these decisions, I was like, that one, like, whatever. It doesn't really matter. They're both pretty. They'll both be fine. Like,
does everyone listening not think she had the craziest, coolest, most spectacular fucking wedding ever?
No, I totally agree. But, like, that was a shock to me when that happened because of the planning process. It was like, it was a clusterfuck. Like, and I didn't have, you know, like printouts and spreadsheets. Like, I would show up to everything with like a fanny pack. Like, what are we doing, guys? Like, what's on deck for today? So I feel like I present myself as very type A, but on the inside, like, I'm kind of chaotic.
Totally.
You know, I feel like when it comes to like outward presentation, like, I want to be perceived as like having it together.
You look like you have it together. Like, your hair, the way, like, how you're dressed, every single
look
time I've ever
sitting,
seen
like,
yeah.
I get, yeah, but like, I sit like this, like, I'm not putting on. So sometimes I confuse myself.
You
know,
are you
do.
Gemini?
No, I'm Scorpio.
Oh.
Another confusing thing.
Oh, we've
I'm,
talked
like,
about this.
The least, actually, I was about to say, I'm like not like a passionate person, but it just depends on the subject.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'm like a Cancer to a T. It's like, you, Cancers are like mean to everyone, and then if someone's mean to them, they like cry. Like, that's me. You know, dishing it but not taking it. That's me to a T.
I love it.
Scorpios
what
are like
you?
Crazy.
Gemini.
What? Oh, that's like the nuts one, right?
Yeah. Michael never knows what he's going to get.
Big nut.
Oh, like yeah. two-faced, two-faced, right?
Like last night at dinner.
Right.
You know?
Let's see who I got today.
That's yeah.
You know, life is always an adventure.
Life is always an adventure.
You also just recently, was it your second book?
Yes.
I put out my second book, Get
that's
the Fuck Out of the
crazy.
Sun. I wish you guys were in it.
I know.
So I wanted to be in it.
I'm
I don't
so
have,
sad.
We don't have enough skincare. Like, we're going to talk about skincare in a little bit, and like, you're going to be so
no,
disappointed.
No, I'm
going to
attack you because there's certain things I'm looking at on your faces.
No.
Like, yes. Wait, in good bad. Or bad ways?
Good.
Oh,
good. No, but good. Like, hold on. I want to know what your eyebrow filler in there is. I want to know what your mascara is.
No, but like,
Claude has a glow. I don't buy it that you guys do nothing.
No, we do
no,
stuff.
I do.
I have like a lotion that I use every night, but like, what I do is not nearly involved enough to be like interesting
in your
for
book.
Your book
I
because I read
you
through all the questions. I was like, I don't have the answers.
I read through all the questions too, and like, I honestly like. If I'm going to be, like, really honest with my friends here, like, I forgot to respond.
Okay, let me tell you something, though. The fat Jew was in it,
mm-hmm.
and he was brutally honest. Mm-hmm. Like he actually was like, what the fuck is a toner? Like, he was so
what
honest.
What the fuck is a toner?
A toner is something that tightens and shrinks your pores. It's
like,
great.
At what point in the night do you do it?
You
like, after
do,
moisturizer?
After you wash your face.
Okay.
Do you do it toner. Every night?
Sometimes. No, I don't do it every night. I sometimes sleep in my makeup. I'm not, like, trying to pretend, like, things are perfect.
Okay, good.
I'm actually incredibly chaotic.
Yeah, well, I just want to say, like, I'm really sorry I never responded because I did want to be in your book, but, like, I genuinely forgot.
No. Honestly, I think, though, that people that weren't in the skincare world, like, they didn't, like you said, they didn't, which is fine.
Like, I'll share, I use, like, a product before I put on my makeup, and then after I shower, I put on a face cream that I like.
Don't tell anyone because we're going to talk about
we're
it.
We're going to talk, which is what I'm saying, like the, just my, our routines aren't in-depth enough, and when it comes to the glow, like, it's makeup. Like,
I know, but
when
I
it comes
to
the glow, it's sweat.
No,
always.
It's looking like the glow is looking great.
No, like people always say like that my skin like is so like glowy and this and that. Like you should see me before I put my makeup on. Like it's rosacea, it's freckles. No. It's like, and especially now like being pregnant, it's freaky and it's nothing like this.
But we do have relatively good skin and people do always ask us like routines. And I have like a small routine. It's nothing crazy. But at the end of the day, and like no one wants to hear this answer, like we both have good skin because we really, it's just in our genes. Like, for so long, I didn't even wash my face. Like, I literally used to take my makeup off and go to sleep, like, not even use a cleanser. Like, and I never even got pimples. Like, it's at some point, like, it's just genetics. And, like, we just have good, like, skin and hair in our genes.
Do your husbands do a routine?
Nothing. Yeah, my husband uses Jack Black stuff. He likes that brand. Like,
okay.
The blue bottles.
Jack Black, like, the
separate.
Guy?
Oh. But the brand is just called Jack Black.
When I first met Michael, he was using Old Spice shower gel. And I had to
really that's bad. Come in and
what the
like,
hell did I know?
That's bad. Yeah, that's bad.
That was bad. I was like, whoa. Now he has a fucking 10 step.
Oh, Ben has literally a zero, a negative 4 step.
Well, maybe we can like get Ben drunk off spritz and give him a Dr. Dennis vitamin C.
By the way, like, he'd be down, but, like, he can't even remember to, like, take his wallet with him before he leaves the house. Like, how's he going to remember to do a 4-step routine before bed?
I forgot my wallet, too. He sounds like me.
Yeah, no, he's just very forgetful.
And he also has good skin, so he's, like, probably if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And he once said to us, he's like, you guys do all this stuff, and, like, you have crazy, like, pimples and stuff. He was like, and I don't do anything. And my rationale is, like, well, I have to wear this much makeup every single day. And, like, that fucks with your – and then you have to do something to, like, offset the consequences of that, like, while you're sleeping at night. Like,
there's that meme that exists. It's on the internet, and it's, like, that troll, and it says, like, a girl after a 10-step routine. People get mad at me.
Yeah.
10-step,
yeah.
And then it's, like, a glowing guy, and it's the guy that used the same soap that he washes balls with. Like,
literally. It's literally true.
Here's a tip. I've noticed a lot of people use the same towel that their husband wiped their balls with on their face after they cleanse it. You cannot use a ball sack towel on your face.
I actually did learn that from you. I have like a separate towel that just stays by my sink that doesn't get used like as a towel from the shower. It's just a face towel.
You can't wipe your butthole and then put it on your face.
No, but
and
like, expect that's what we've been doing.
My husband
years.
And I have separate towels, separate colors.
Separate colors.
Oh, yeah. Smart. Yeah. They don't, they're not cohesive looking at all. Like he's like his towels from still when he was a bachelor. And I just got like light blue ones I like, but it.
Yeah. Sometimes when Laura makes me mad, I sneak in the bathroom and just wipe my balls with every towel. Oh, and say
I use baby washcloths on
like,
my
what
face,
is going so on with my start. Skin? I'm breaking out. I'm like, I have no idea.
No. The weather here is a little difficult on the skin. I'm a little puffy. Yeah. I got some zits going on, hyperpigmentation.
Have you noticed like a difference in your skin since moving to the country? I feel like it, like the air would be so good for your skin.
Everything's just more relaxing.
Yeah.
And obviously there's things with, I'm sure, every city that, I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's very idyllic. It's very, it's very pretty to wake up and take a walk and be able to do even like a conference call like outside and walk around and with the baby.
Mm-hmm. So nice. How long before you moved were you planning on moving? Like
we literally like started talking about it, went out in November, like during the time of election.
I saw the house and I looked at him and I go, go kill the tiger.
Oh my God.
We put an offer in that day. Never really knew.
So decisive. Like we've been talking about like literally making an appointment at the dentist for like 3 years. Like,
you know, I think it was like Lauren and
I also with the kid, like you're on it. There's a time like soon she's going to realize like she doesn't leave her house.
That true.
Jacob Tremblay in room.
Yeah.
I think like Lauren and I are we don't need to know the next 10 years of our life. We'd like to know where we're going a little bit, but we're also like, hey, let's take an adventure. Like, mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah. And if it doesn't, if we hate it, we can choose something else.
I don't want to live in the same house my whole entire life. I want to live a spontaneous life. Right now I live in Austin. Who knows? I could live, you know, in Florida. I could live, I want to be spontaneous and fly by the seat of my pants.
Yeah. How has moving, now that you've moved, like, how has it affected your relationship? Like, was it everything that you thought it was going to be? Are there, like, challenges that you didn't foresee?
I think, I don't want to speak for you, but I think we're in a better place now. During the first move, when it was back and forth to LA with a kid and all that, like, it was chaotic. You're like, oh my God, did we make the right decision? But now that we have our roots in one place and we can, like, we'll do this. We'll come to New York. We'll work. We'll go to LA, work. After this, we're going to Texas. Relax. And we're just, like, we're just going to be at home with our family, like, living, right?
Yeah.
And so I think in a lot of ways it made us closer because you do this thing together where you like up and leave your entire family, your entire city. It's not familiar. You're like, you know, it bonds you.
You only have each other.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm not going to say it's for everybody and it's super easy. Like, there's
some
challenges.
I'm not a big going out networking, like, party type person. As I've like gotten older, like I just love a leisurely lunch, mm-hmm. like a long leisurely lunch or like a 6 p.m. dinner. I'm mm-hmm. like, you know, I like to be in bed if I'm being honest at like, max 9 o'clock.
I think a common misconception with Lauren and I is that we're like these really social people that are out and about.
I feel like that's the vibe I get too.
But we're not, right? Like, and it's very limited what I tell people doing. We do the show 8 times a month and we're having these conversations all the time. And as you guys know, like this is a lot of interacting, a lot of paying attention, a lot of socializing.
It takes a lot out of your like soul.
So then like
to
people
give
like
so much of yourself.
And then people after all of it, like, hey, do you want to go to a dinner and like do small talk? Like I just did all of these all weeks and I want to go home with my family and like read a book and chill out and watch a show.
We have 4 podcasts today and I was trying to explain it. I was trying to say like, it's like going to dinner for an hour with 4 different people sober.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that how it is?
Yeah. But you know what's so funny? after, whenever we're podcasting with someone, like most people, I'm like, we need to get dinner after this. Like, there's so much, we need to, like,
well, there's certain people, of course, of course. Like, there's certain, like, yes, of course, there's some guests that you, like, have a connection with. Like, we talked about this offline. Taylor Strucker is, like, such a
an cool angel
energy.
From God.
You guys have great energy. But it's not everyone that you want to get dinner with.
Yeah. No. And also, usually when we do guest segments, like, it's 15, 20 minutes, like, but you guys are doing, like, an hour.
And do you have guests mostly every episode?
We have guests, I would say 80%. Some are solos. Yeah. I like doing a solo episode.
So, of course, you're not going to like everyone that you meet.
But no, like, we met some real fucking duds.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And so if we have someone on the show, like, we usually say no to most guests. So if someone's coming on, it's like we really want to talk to them. And usually, like, they meet our expectations.
Who's
for the most part.
The best guest you've ever had? Like, who you just, you want to just keep having on? You think that they're just
I would
dynamic
say, though,
charisma?
The majority of our guests, like, we vet before, like, we really enjoy. And then sometimes, you know, there's a lot. But the majority is, like, you've gone through and be like, I really want to talk to this person ahead of time.
Who's your best guest?
Honestly, like, we just had Kevin O'Leary on the show, and he was
he
just...
He gave everything.
He gave us everything.
He gave us everything.
He came in costume. He did a wine tasting for his O'Leary wines.
He wanted to talk about everything.
Cancel culture, politics. Like, he was literally... And he just... It was. We usually do, like, 20 minutes with guests. He just sat and talked and talked. He made it so easy. He was everything.
That's a really good answer. I totally agree.
Oh, my God. I have to listen to that episode.
And now we've had three sharks on the show. Barbara, Damon, and...
Kevin,
yeah.
And you loved them all.
Barbara was, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, a nut. Like, she was just all over the place. She's, like, exactly who she is on TV, but, like, 10 times more energized. She was really cool. And Damon is just smart. Like, I just wanted to, like, sit him down and ask him questions, like, how do I grow my business?
I bet you they would give you answers. Yeah. You guys should go on Shark Tank. I feel like you'd be perfect.
We've talked, back in the day, we would always, like, think of our business. Like, everything we know about business is from Shark Tank. Like, truly. Mm-hmm. And we used to always think of our business of how it, like, look would present on Shark Tank. And there were a few times we would talk about on the show where it's like, should we go on Shark Tank? Now, like, no, we probably wouldn't. But that's definitely, like, really influenced how we do business.
How we do business, 100%.
I love how you guys are so much about pop culture and using it, like, as leverage and to your advantage. In your book, I feel like you talked about that a lot, how you couldn't kind of find out what you wanted to do. And then you realized what you wanted to do was pop culture. You love watching TV. I mean, it's, you've made a business out of it.
Yeah. And me and Jackie talk about this a lot. I feel like one of the really, like, our a big advantage we have when it comes to the podcasting space is, like, you know, everyone has a podcast now, and, like, there's a big reality show and a star comes out of it and everyone goes and does all the podcasts. Me and Jackie, like, especially Jackie, like, because she has a better memory than me, we have been watching reality TV, been engaging in celebrity culture. We've been on social media since we were kids.
Yeah, like, you guys are practitioners.
We know everything. And, like, and that's just a natural part of who we are. That's why we got into this line of business. And I really feel like that's a huge benefit for us when it comes to recapping, because it's a natural thing. Like, if we're sitting on our couch, we're talking about Real Housewives of New York. So why don't we just record it? You know?
And I feel like the community that you guys have cultivated too, they are also, like, the same kind of way. Like, this is such a nice outlet for someone who loves to watch all these things.
Right. Where I feel like at most times it's, like, a negative. Like, you watch so much reality TV. It's, like, my guilty pleasure. It's trash. Like, no, it's an art.
It's therapeutic.
And we respect it.
It is. But sometimes it's trash.
You know who we just had on the show who was literally just saying this and, like, talking about, like, it is a performance, it is an art, you have to bring it? We had Spencer Pratt on.
Yeah. Perfect example.
And he's been on your show. I've listened.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was talking, he's like, listen, not to bash the hills, but he's like, people aren't fucking bringing it. Like, he's like, they need to bring it. He's like, season two, he's like this. And he really, like, gave this whole history of his entire experience in the world of reality TV. And he's been there for forever, yeah. Right? And I'm excited for it to come out because it's a really, for me, it was extremely interesting to talk to him. Be like, oh, why do some shows work and some don't? Why do some casts work and some other casts don't?
Yeah.
And he was like, listen, he's like, people need to fucking bring it when they go on these shows because it is a form of entertainment and art.
I think he's a real, like, real true blue reality star. He gets it.
I mean,
it
he is
100%.
Loose. He is out there and he's loose right now.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example of it. Like, it's not.
It's a performance.
Right. And it's art and it should be treated as such. And at the Morning Toast, like, we're not going to call it your guilty pleasure. Like, it's just something good to watch. Like,
you know what else is good? We didn't talk about this on our show. Siesta Key.
Yes.
Love. Oh, my God. It gets better and better. I'm so invested. The fact that Sam and Juliet are broken up, I feel so upset.
They broke up in real life.
Yeah, they broke up a few weeks ago. And then he's been, like, posting with another girl. And now she's in Paris. And it's like, I don't think they're getting back together. And I'm just coming to terms with it.
Hold on. Is this for the show or you really think they broke up?
It didn't even happen on the show. It happened, like, on social media.
I didn't see it on the show. But maybe are they trying to tease the next season?
I don't think so.
Maybe. She's my favorite.
She's my favorite.
I love her.
My only issue, like, I love her so much. So my only issue with her on the show is like, whenever she's on top, she always fucking ruins it. Like, she doesn't know how to, she always is like coming back from being like the underdog, or like everybody's mad at her and she has to like, you know, crawl back and like say all her apologies. And then she gets back and she like doesn't know how to be on top with grace, you know? And
what then, do like, you mean? Like, she doesn't know how to handle like
being
her
like,
winning.
Yeah. You know, like
her bathing suit line, which she's done, is pretty impressive.
Oh my God. I know. I got one. It was so cute. Yeah, but I got it like when I was like turning pregnant. So like I gave it to my little sister for a little bit. But it was so cute and it was such good quality and it came really quickly.
Yeah, I like how I like what she's done.
But like
her business.
The beginning of the season, like she's with Sam and like, you know, Kelsey is like apologizing so profusely because Kelsey fucked up big time. And like she has so many friends. Everybody loves her. And like she's the narrator of the show. And like she goes and hits Kelsey and it's like, you have so much to lose. What are you doing?
But maybe it makes better reality television.
Yeah, I think she probably bears the brunt of like most of that, like the burden of making the, she is the main character and she has been for a while and she has to get drunk and do crazy things. And that, I imagine that takes a toll on you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's a drain suck of energy. She said it on the reunion too.
She did. Oh my God. I thought that was so telling.
Yeah.
When she was like, it's hard being on reality TV and everyone was like tiny violins, but I think she was trying to say something more.
What Spencer was saying, he's like, even some of the, like, if you think about the villains and the people that are like out there, he's like, some of them should even just be paid more than the regular cast because they're the ones that like create the environment for the chaos to ensue.
Yeah.
And so like people will look at Spencer and be like, this guy's the villain, but without like, imagine the Hills without him this season, right? Like, what do they do? And they're just like, hey, let's go to lunch and let's go to dinner.
Right. Cause also at this point, like it's pretty formulaic and everybody like knows, like if you can come off well and people like you, you can have a lot of success, but like, you know, if you're the villain or the overt villain, like you're not going to be that person. So like, it's a fine line of like being, playing it safe, but being not boring and being well-liked. And only few people really like are able to accomplish
Christine
all those
Cavallari.
Things.
What's like a Jax Taylor or a, or what's the other
James.
Kid? James. Like,
yes.
You can't
Jax
duplicate
is a perfect
those
example.
People. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know he gets so much shit. I'm sorry. He's amazing. He's perfect TV. He's hilarious.
You can't look away. You can't look away.
Mm-hmm. You can't look away.
And then James Kennedy comes in. It's like these two people. It's like, how do you turn away
I'm
from what the hell's
I'm actually really
going
excited
on
for Vanderpump this season.
Really?
Yeah, I am.
Why? What do you know?
Well, I just think that we're going to be pleasantly surprised about the dynamics of what goes on. And I think if you're getting scared, don't be.
I'm definitely scared.
I'm excited too because it's been so long now. I miss them. Yeah. I love Lala.
Obsessed. Me too.
I just can't. I could just watch her on my screen forever.
You know who I like love so much and I like have a crush on him and I told him in front of Lala?
Tom Schwartz.
Randall. He like, I get it. He is so funny. He loves her so much. Mm. He just came on our podcast and he was crying like on the Stop. Podcast about how much her alcohol addiction affected him. And did he's so real and refreshing to me.
Did you read her book?
Yes.
Oh my God, so good. And
I liked
stuff,
her book a lot.
I liked her book a lot. It was like a really easy reading, but like also went below the surface of and like talking about like the alcohol and the stuff that like she had done, did to Randall that I think like none of us knew. There was like some really
crazy.
Well,
yeah,
you really
have to
like,
read the toothbrush.
He just came on and like he obviously was like crying a little bit and like it really hurt him. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And you could see like when, like that's a real relationship, right? Like it wasn't like a TV thing.
No. That's a ride or die couple.
Yeah.
I know. I also just feel like if the show doesn't end up this season of Vanderpump Rules being what it needs to be, like Lala really needs to elevate and get on Beverly Hills Housewives.
Yes.
Like she's honestly too good for this group.
Oh my God. I could totally see
like they're
see
living
her.
In tiny apartments like, and she's literally the queen of Beverly
Wait,
Hills.
Wait, why don't you guys go on Real Housewives of New York?
You know, it was always like a goal of mine. That's why I got married. But now none of the housewives are married, so the joke's on me. But also, I had been reached out to once by a casting person asking if I knew anyone. And I'm like, yeah, me. And then I never heard, and then I never heard from them.
I would love to mix you into the crowd.
Like, I think forever that was the dream. But now when we think about reality TV, like, we would never do it.
Yeah.
That's what Michael and I said, too.
Honestly, there's not nearly enough money in it for, like, how embarrassing it is.
Well, the guys never end up well on those things anyways. The husbands on the housewives.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
name a husband that's ended
up
well.
Also, like, why, like, hang the husband out to, like, you know, like, he needs to be kept in the cupboard.
Yeah, or they're, like, either the husband, like, comes off, like, so bad, or it's, like, you come off bad in the way that you treat your husband.
That's literally my cross to bear, okay?
But, you know, like, I also think, like, why at this stage, right? Like, I think there's different stages, but at this stage, both with what you've built, kind of with what we built, like, I control these environments. You control
you
the environment.
It. Yeah, I need it.
Yeah, there's not like, you honestly could, there's not a dollar amount that you could, like, I'm like, I have a good environment now that I don't have to worry about some guy going and like showing me like off mic, like doing something weird or whatever. Like, I don't need to deal with that.
It's not worth it. Yeah. And I think if there was a time, it would be like when we were still building our business.
Yeah.
And we needed it.
And
now
you take
we don't.
Risks, but now you just have like too much to lose.
And also with all due respect to everybody who does it, because I do partake and do watch and like obviously huge fans.
Real Housewives.
But I don't want... And maybe this is because I'm a dad now. I don't want people coming up to my daughter and be like, oh, your dad is that reality guy. And I'm not saying there's anything
don't
wrong.
Don't cry again.
I'm just saying like, yeah, I won't cry again.
Every time he talks
like,
about the baby.
I just think that like there's other things I would like to be known as in her eyes.
Yeah.
Right. And like not have people like put a stamp label of like, yeah, or that, or just say like, hey, like he has to be this thing. Like, mm-hmm.
You
know,
have
because
a name
it comes
picked
with
out
that.
For the baby.
I have a name that I really like. Zach like really isn't crazy about it, so I don't know how that's going to
work.
No one
cares what they think.
I know, but like
agree
he,
more.
He
it's really, literally not your decision.
He really cares what like he thinks this is like equal decisions. And I mean, I get like I don't know how I could really just I need to learn from you.
You got to manipulate
how
like,
to just like and
make
be like,
it seem like it's
no,
his idea.
No, that's not true. We like both came to the like there were some names that got scrapped that we both couldn't agree on.
What were they? Or are you
what's
use
one
them?
that we scrapped? Shit. What's one we scrapped?
I'm trying to think.
I don't think there was a lot of different names that we had for Zaza. Was Zaza like, was always Zaza.
We like, yeah, we. I mean, there was more like just I think like more traditional
like
names.
Like just conversation of names that he shut down. Like when I said prune.
Yeah, I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, man, I used to eat prunes and I was constipated as a kid.
No, prune.
No, there was another. Yeah, prune was
prune
one.
Prune because I feel like it's like... Claude is looking at me like,
I shut down,
so glad
I shut down all items.
Plastic, it's kind of cute.
I shut down all items.
She doesn't like
it's
it.
It's actually not terrible.
All items.
All items from her. Because I, like,
I think that's good.
Yeah.
I like a super unique name that's one or two syllables because I like it to be easy for consumers to pronounce. There's nothing worse when you don't know if someone's name is like 20, like you don't know how to say it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever
of
heard
course.
A name like that you just don't know how to say?
Yeah.
Right. I wanted it like, what if she wants to launch her own brand?
Of course.
Like,
no,
so
she's
easy.
An icon. Like, she's born an icon.
Do you guys? Like, I wanted a new name that no one was using but easy to pronounce.
Do you guys watch Friends?
Accomplished.
Friends? No, I was more of a Seinfeld person.
Okay, because when Rachel and Ross have a baby, there's this episode. It's actually the funniest episode of television ever. And you guys are Rachel and Ross. Like, Rachel wants weird names like Sandrine. And Ross just wants like normal names like Darwin and like James. And it's literally the funniest episode. And they land on the name Ruth because it's a family name. And at the end of the episode, when they finally name on it, they're like, okay, we'll have ourselves a little baby Ruth.
Oh.
And then they never named the kid Ruth because it's a candy bar.
But they had the baby, right?
Baby Ruth.
Oh, baby Ruth.
It's a candy bar.
I got it.
So it's like after this whole episode, they finally land on a name. And then they're like, baby Ruth.
I need to watch Friends and Seinfeld.
Lauren's extremely flamboyant.
You need to watch Friends. You don't need to watch Friends.
So
yes, you do.
Sometimes needs some editing, in my opinion. Like, she's so like, I'm like, we are not going with Prune. I will literally throw myself off a bridge.
If someone listening names their baby Prune, will you tag me in it? Prune is a cute name.
Can I say it's kind of growing on me?
Thank you.
It's growing on me.
Prune is... It's chic.
I know, but like, I just think naming your kid after food is just a slippery slope.
I'm not
slope.
Naming it after food. Are you kidding? I'm naming it because the Olsen twins, when they pose for a picture, say prune to suck their buckles
right.
in.
Right.
That's all I was saying to
prune. Prune.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I kind of turned around on it.
No. I see where prune I see where you're coming from. Anyways, we have a lot of conversations.
Prunio.
Prunio.
Prudy, oh, yes.
No, also, so we are having a boy, which, you know.
Oh, wait, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
You announced boy?
I did.
Patreon.
In, like, our Patreon blog. I just
oh
came
my
out
God,
with
congratulations.
It. Because I figured at some point I would, like, be talking about the baby and I would just, like, spill it anyway. So I just was like, let's put it all out there. So, but like, boy, girl names are just more fun to think about. Maybe because I'm
a would
girl.
Agree with that.
So it's definitely, and we didn't start thinking about names until we knew the gender, because I was like, I don't want to like get excited about a name if that's not what it's going to be. So it's...
Don't name your son Prune.
I will not. No. I'm
cute
probably,
for a boy too.
I'm more of like a classic name. Like I want a name that was around 100 years ago and will be around 100 years from now.
You need a name that you can call. So when you pick your name, like let's say you're going to name like your kid
Prune.
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 I dinner's ready.
I feel
like
that.
You need to like use it in context or like oh no, Prune pooped.
No, I feel that because like honestly in our house Olivia and Claudia are very similar. So like if you missed, if someone was being called down for dinner, you didn't know if it was Olivia or Claudia because the Ia at the end was like making it confusing.
Your mom didn't think about consumers.
Why aren't you guys all having dinner at the same time?
Okay, not for me, it was like, Claudia, you got a zero on your test. Like, you're in trouble. Like, you know what I mean?
No, again, there was no confusion about who it was.
Yeah, of course, Olivia did not get it. Fine, fuck, okay. That's a fair point.
You have to use your name, though, in sentences. You can't just name the name.
That's a really good point.
Okay, that's a good tip.
Start walking around referencing the baby as a certain name.
Yeah,
and see
but like
feels.
To me, I have that name, and just like Zach is just like.
So start using the name like in front of Zach, how you would use it.
I like traditional old names though.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's something like classic and elegant and strong about them.
Yeah, but as long as it's something that's like still contemporary. Yeah, it's really about like history and just like your own family history.
Yep.
I think it's just like so cool to think about like your ancestors and like if one of them were like roaming around and saw that like this little baby right. is named in some way for them.
By the way, Mr. fucking opinionated, like thinks he's the creator director. Like he won't let me just even like to pick like
strong editor.
A pillow,
strong
a pillow
editor.
On the couch. That's like my, let that... me pick my fucking pillow on my couch.
Same.
I don't want you to have an opinion about creator.
That's not true. She put on. She was gonna wear this olive shirt today. That would have just completely not worked.
By the way,
I don't think
it tells me like Kanye.
Literally,
Kanye. He goes the other day. I think we need to edit your closet. Like better style
that's
than
so
me.
Kim Kanye. Like
it is Kanye vibes.
Well,
You can say it. He doesn't think I have style.
I think like taste is a real thing. Oh. Right?
I do have taste.
I'm not saying you don't have
Hold
taste.
On.
I'm saying
I have
I,
taste.
I don't have style and I don't and I can't. I'm not a creative, but I think I have taste.
Put so okay. much energy towards what I wear. Like it's just not like it's boring to me, to be honest.
That's so surprising. I completely agree.
I put
it
my energy
surprising.
Towards other. Yeah, I don't. I just if someone could just tell me what to wear, I would just wear it.
I
don't want to think about it. Like, I don't really, I don't have
but
a handbag right now. I didn't bring my wallet, money. Like,
well, here's how I explain it. You know, when you walk know. Into a place and you're like, oh my God, like something just is not, doesn't feel good in here. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah,
it's like, it's off. And then you go to another place. You're like, damn, like whoever did
these
this, like I have, yes, I have good feelings here. Like that.
He's
I,
saying
like,
that about my clothes.
No, I'm not.
By the way, these pajamas, pants are from Amazon. They were $10.
Wait, I love that.
And he's going to get mad.
I love your shoes.
$10. I wear these shoes every day. I'm like, I just can't like be
bothered.
Or like
you walk into a beautiful place and then like the music is
he's
completely counter
about
to
how
what
bad
the
my
place
style
is.
Okay, that's like a really niche issue, but sure.
Yeah, but it's but it fucks the senses.
I guess.
You were complaining about that recently, actually.
Was I?
Yeah, at the party.
Michael
party.
Puts a real emphasis.
It was
emphasis.
A party. We needed music.
We always need music. No, it's five senses. You got to have, here's my thing. You got to have movement. Mm-hmm. So movement to me is a fountain in the house or a sexy oil diffuser that's like going up like the caterpillar smoking his hookah. And you got to have the right smell. Smell, my baby shower, I scented it in cotton candy. So when you walked in, you immediately smelled cotton candy. The scent is important. And you also have to have music. You have to have music.
Of course.
Of course.
Sorry to get so specific.
No, that's okay. I feel that
100%. That's what I'm wasting my energy on.
It's like when you walk into someone's home. Like, it, and like there's some homes you go in, it's like chaotic. Everything's all, you don't know. And like some you're like, wow, this like just a flow. You just feel like immediately at ease.
Yeah. It's true.
Five senses.
It's just hard to get it all right all the time.
Yeah, like we used to keep buying candles like after they run out.
Yeah, give
me the time or the money.
People are listening to me like, what a fucking asshole.
No, literally, they just smell. Before, my final question for you, Lauren, is what I find it so interesting is like, I feel like for the most part, you said you've been blogging for 13 years. I feel like everyone who's been on the internet for a while has like slowly left their blogs behind, but your blog is like such an integral part of your brand. Can you talk about like why you did that?
I'm not going to abandon ship on the thing that I think sort of put the brand on the map. I think a lot of people maybe were blogging for monetary reasons and like, sure, that's an element of it. But I love to write. I love to create blog content. And I think that for me, my community wants to see very detailed. And with the blog, you get that.
Yeah, and you can't on social.
Yeah, and there's this book called The Slight Edge. And it's like you never want to stop doing what gave your brand traction in the beginning. And like, sure, you can like I'll microblog through Instagram story all the time. Like I'll write little like blog posts sort of on Instagram story, but if I just abandoned that part and just took a picture of myself in the mirror, that's not staying true to what the blog started as. There always has to be something that's like a valuable takeaway to not waste people's time. So the blog is still a thing for me.
I think that's really
you'll
well
respect
said.
This like doing stand up. Mm-hmm. Like it's you know those comedians that started like incredible comedians and they kind of abandon that, like now they're actors or whatever, right. And they stop doing the stand up, and right. All of a sudden you're like, what happened yes. to your, you know?
Well, because they say like if you can do stand up, like you can do anything, like and that's true. But I think that like to not hone that craft and like consistently do it is a huge mistake. But you're right, like that's actually what happens with most comedians who blow up overnight.
Yeah, they stop doing the thing, and then all of a sudden it's like
they want to be movie stars, and that's great, but. That's always what we say. Like, I hate when my thing, like Jackie Joke said, I literally like say the same five things every episode. But
here's one of them.
Here's one of them.
I can't wait.
I hate when, now I'm like nervous. I hate when people hate the thing that made them famous.
Yes.
I hate when Hannah Montana, like Miley yes. hates Hannah. I just like, and like when they do interviews, they really want to talk about their new project and like not the project everyone actually wants to talk about. Like,
by the way, no one really wants to hear peeves. About a project either. Like talk about something that's like,
the whole,
yes,
which includes that piece.
My right. thing is like, if you go on a podcast and you just have interesting conversation, not about your project, people will go seek you out.
Of yes, course.
They will go find you
when
if you're
you come
a compelling
on so
person.
Promotional. It's like
it's boring,
and, no, and then it's like you put it all like your eggs in this one project, and then like whatever 6 months from now, it's the next project. And how is this always the thing that totally encapsulates you? Right. Whereas oh, the thing before did not.
There's nothing there's worse a thing than after. A podcast guest that comes on and all they want to do is pimp themselves out. The audience right. can smell it. Everyone can smell. The bullshit. It's not interesting for the hosts. Like, just come on and just be a compelling person. And if someone wants to go seek you out, they will.
100%.
Have you guys been following what's been going on with like Jake Paul and those guys? Do you ever follow that a little bit?
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, okay, so like he started as a Disney kid, and I think he's such a marketing genius because he's gone and now he's doing all these fights. Mm-hmm. But one of the things he just put up on his feed the other day was like him doing the old like Disney waving one,
yeah,
and he's like,
so
he's smart. Like, look at what this Disney kid's gonna do. And when he goes to his events, he wears like the Gucci Disney thing, and I'm like, that is a smart way to take something smart. That propels you and continue it forward, but also transitioning and evolving into something else.
Who doesn't love nostalgia? I'm a huge fan of the Paul brothers. Like, I know that they're controversial. I think that they're so smart, and I think what they've done is so like unbelievable. Like, he literally fought Floyd Mayweather. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, it is insane. What he's
it's
done
insane.
Is he's
they're selling out stadiums.
And hate them, love them. They are smart and successful.
They're like the male versions of the Kardashians.
Yes. Yeah. And people like think that they're a joke, and they just keep going, they keep training, and they're like decent fucking fighters. Like, they don't.
Oh, those kids can crack. Yeah.
He stayed in the entire fight with Floyd Mayweather. Like, he didn't win, but.
I think they also do a good example of doing the slight edge, but they also know how to evolve at the same time, and that is a finesse.
And I think that's really like Logan. I think Logan like grew up, like, was way more famous than Jake, and like, it all just happened so fast for him, and he just became a prick. And I think he learned, like, in a hard way, like, how to, you know, come back down to earth. And I don't know him at all. This is just, like, what I gather from following. I think he's, like, a much more evolved, like, mature person.
Yeah. And there has to be room
for that.
For evolution. And there has to be, like, room to forgive and grow. Like, there's got to be room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're all entitled to grow up and make mistakes.
I just said something the other day to someone. They said, well, you said, you know, 6 months ago that you didn't like this, and now you do. And I just wrote back, I changed my mind.
No, like, you
and that is my new thing for 2022. I changed my mind, and I'm allowed to change my mind. How about that?
By the way, literally,
that's how minds work.
Literally, and part of the reason I did not want to write a book was like, I changed my mind about everything every day. And I'm like, I'm gonna write a whole book, and then I bet I'll read it in a year and be like embarrassed that I had these opinions. Like, so I literally put it in my book. I'm like, I'm just saying, like, I know that I might say something in this book, and then in a year on the podcast say something completely contradictory, but that's because I change my mind all the time, and that's fine.
I don't know where we got to this point that you have can't change your mind.
You have to
mind.
Be like consistent with every opinion you've ever had.
Yeah.
You know what it's like on a micro level? Have you ever, you know, you're like, you have a certain style and you're wearing that style. I think you look so great. And like 4 years later, you look back and you're like, yes. What the hell was I doing?
That's
and at the time you thought you looked so fire.
That's in my book, The Gaucho Pants. Yeah. Used to literally, I would get in trouble for wearing the same pants every day. Like, they would be like, you have to put them in the wash. I used to wear these gaucho pants all the time. And like, could you see me wearing gaucho pants right now?
I mean, I think you should bring them back. Michael would kill you.
I had a Jackie spiky tried. Hairstyle with like the old, like so much gel and like spiking. At the time, I was like, damn, I look cool.
You probably did.
Whoa.
No, but I look back now and I'm like, oh.
It's a perfect example of it.
Yeah.
Well, things you guys change. Are just the best.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming on the show. Please, I'm going to give you the next kind of 30 seconds to a minute. Promote anything you want.
You guys can follow me at Lauren Bostick. We just did a podcast with you guys, which is not up yet, but it will be up. You've both been on our podcast 2 times. So if you guys want to go listen to that.
Oh, yeah.
Remember we sang a duet?
Oh, what did we sing?
Yeah, Little Mermaid.
Yeah, we sang our duet.
My memory, I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
We sat at a huge round table.
I remember the podcast. I don't remember singing. I remember you wearing a red flannel.
I don't remember.
Yeah, she was.
Michael probably hated it. yeah, and my product line at the Skinny Confidential, lymphatic drainage, depuff the fuck out of your face. I'm sending each of you one.
Can I get an ice roller? Yeah, Olivia's obsessed with it.
I'm going to send you an ice roller.
Olivia's obsessed with it.
She sits in her bed. You FaceTime her. She's ice rolling 24/7 with the Skinny Confidential ice roller.
Oh, that makes me
I
so
love
happy.
Mine. And you know who loves it? Brew. My dog loves when I do it. I don't do it a lot, but he's always trying to get it.
He wants lymphatic drainage.
He does.
He needs to be grounding and earthing.
No, yeah, he's well-groomed.
Wait, before we wrap up, can we just talk about how you change your Instagram from the Skinny Confidential to Lauren Bosick, and then you gave that username to your own brand, which I thought was so smart. And now you have a line of skincare.
So I had And the Skinny was like, which was a place where consumers could go and find like Amazon finds.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
And I bought clips. Knowing I was going to launch a brand. So the people that were following along were people who, enjoyed I don't like to push things on people. They enjoy shopping products.
Right.
And so when it was time to switch to the product line, we switched that to At the Skinny Confidential. And now I am Lauren Bostick. Sometimes.
That's crazy.
I just changed mine to Jackie Ashray 6 months ago, and it was the best thing I ever did.
Yeah. She was Jackie O Problems for forever.
I liked that name though.
I liked it. It served a purpose, but ever since I've changed it, I have not looked back.
Yeah, Michael, don't look back.
It was emblematic of the time when you made it, but now it's we've evolved on social so much.
Oh, by the way, hot tip really quick. Sorry, another one. Get your baby's Instagram handle the second the baby's born.
Does Zaza have an Instagram?
I would only do that so that someone doesn't take it.
Well, here's the thing. People get really mad about this. I've seen people get mad that we did that. We don't post anything about the baby there, but
post a little bit on my stories, but she doesn't post.
Here's
on
the
her
thing.
Instagram.
But it's just so that she has it when
there
she
there are
wants.
Some yeah, assholes out there that'll that's just smart. Do things yeah. to take like if
assholes.
You, yeah, if you put yourself out in a public light, they're gonna go and I took the name. You even buy the name. So I'm before we got every name, you want to do anything. If she wants it later, she can have it. If she doesn't, doesn't matter.
That's so smart.
Michael,
actually.
I was pushing on the table, and Michael's like, I got her name.
Good.
That's important. That's actually a really good piece of advice.
No, but I mean, I think people. I mean, I don't want to have a fight with someone later and have to bribe some dude or to give me the kid's name. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
She doesn't have to use it. Maybe she doesn't want to
use it. That's a good business if you want to start a business. Totally. Just steal celebrities and influencers' baby names.
Well, you guys are the best. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having
us. And you guys, we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.